It's time for Benedict and Raven football on your local sports authority, Care 93.7, part of the MSC Radio Network. Benedict and Raven football is brought to you by Atchison Auto Parts, your hometown Napa dealer. Don't forget you can listen to today's broadcast free on our mobile app. Download the MSC Radio app on the Google Play or Apple Store, and you can also stream today's game free online at mscsports.net.
And there's no better place to catch every snap than Mueller's Locker Room in Atchison. With TVs everywhere you look, daily food specials, and ice cold drinks, you'll feel like you're right on the 50-yard line. From kickoff to the final whistle, the best plays happen at Mueller's Locker Room. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison. Your game day headquarters all season long. Mueller's Locker Room.
You're listening to Benedict and Raven football on your local sports authority, Care 93.7 FM, part of the MSC Radio Network. The Everwell Health pregame and Bank of Atchison coaches show featuring head Raven football coach Joel Osborne starts right after this.
Do you know how to recognize a phone scam? At Union State Bank, we're focused on keeping your financial future secure, and that means providing the information you need to keep your accounts protected. There are several red flags that can help you recognize a scam, such as a request for sensitive information or the promise that you'll get a prize. You can learn more about how to recognize a phone scam at mybankusb.com or visit one of our 8 convenient USB locations for valuable information about how to protect your assets. NMLS 654946, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
As we get ready for this afternoon's Benedict and ball game, Joel Osborne, head coach of the Ravens, with us. Coach, we got to start off with a great congratulations to you, your team. What an excellent performance on week one last week at home.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom. I thought our crowd was tremendous, and kids, you know, came out ready to play. Both sides offensively got going right away, and then the defense has settled in. We created some huge turnovers. That first takeaway by Dylan Witherspoon, you know, the quarterback didn't see him coming. He thought he was going to, you know, be double covering the boundary receiver, and Dylan made it look like that. And then at the last second, Dylan came over the slot receiver to the field and picked it off. Quarterback never saw him. And I thought that was a turning point in the game because they had a holding call that put them up. They were up 21-7, but the holding call took the touchdown off the board. So now they're up 14-7. We get the pick. We go down and score on a big play to Cameron Dover. And then all of a sudden we have the momentum. So, and then from there it was just back and forth. I thought another key to our success was Xavier Hernandez blocking an extra point and a field goal before halftime. That's 4 points off the board. We end up winning by 4. You know, and we left some plays out there offensively, I'm sure, just like Morningside feels. But, you know, overall it was a great atmosphere and really proud of the kids.
Coach, you come into game one. It's always really tough because – you think you're ready and you've practiced and you got the guys in what you feel are the best spots, but you never know how it's going to shake out. And the guys all stepped up. I mean, Jackson, he's picked right up where we have seen him leave off in the last couple of years now and has done a great job of not only playing the quarterback, but being the team's quarterback.
Yeah, I thought Jackson played really well. He saw the defense very well. They came out and ran some different coverages they hadn't ran before, and you know, we have our reasoning for why we know why they did it. But, you know, he saw it and was able to identify that and then get after him. You know, we had some receivers step up right away. You saw Titan Osborne emerge. Cameron Dover, much more production than a year ago. LeBron Jackson, huge 2-minute drive. You know, and LeBron really is a steady Eddie, being a fourth-year player. You know, we targeted Joseph Lagafuana quite a bit. We'd like to get him more catches. And then, obviously, one of the guys they took away was Tanner Zimmerman. They weren't letting us go to him, so we had to go to our receivers. And I thought the receivers responded really well.
Got to talk about those two running backs because I thought Ugorji, he's finally, it feels to me he's finally that healthy guy that we've been waiting to see. And, of course, Witherspoon is just always there.
Yeah, I thought Xavier looked explosive. He was making guys miss in open field, and he just felt like he had another level to him. He was running behind his pads. He had a lot of yards after contact. And then I thought Dalton did a nice job as well, too. I know there was one run where we felt like if Dalton doesn't slow down, he probably just scores. He slowed down to hit the guy instead of just scoring. But, you know, when you have the two backs in the backfield and the run can go either way and either of them can lead block for the other one, that's pretty hard to defend. And, you know, our running game I thought looked pretty good on Saturday, and we're going to have to continue that. I mean, if you average 4 yards a carry versus the top five defense, I mean, statistically, that's really good. So I thought our guys up front played well. You know, Jacoby Henton really stood out to me. I mean, he was really good, especially when we were running power and he was pulling around the edge.
Coach, last week you told me you're going to like Titan Osborne. And you look at the roster, here is a team that starts 9 seniors and a junior on offense, and then this freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, and we saw him out there, and Coach, I got to tell you, everything that you said, you know, he was there.
He's a track sprinter. He was on our 4x1 team in the spring. We registered him last fall. He did a nice job in JV games. He did a great job in practice. He's smart. He's got a really good frame to him. He's about 6'2". He came from a really good high school program at Washburn Rural. So, you know, and he had a really good camp, you know, fall camp, and he was ready to go. When we had our scrimmage, we made that a big deal, and he had a really good day in our scrimmage, and it showed up, you know, last week against Morningside.
Okay, we've been talking about the offense, but let's be honest. The defense, where you have a new coordinator, where you graduated a bunch of good guys off of last year's team, it had to be one of the things you were hoping was going to come together, but you never know. Well, it sure did.
Yeah, for sure. I thought Coach Strong had a good game plan. A couple of our interceptions were because of our new coverages that Morningside did not know we were going to have, so that helps. And, you know, Zach Lacombe came out and played really well. He was all over the field, ended up with 12 tackles. You know, he's the leader of our defense. You got new guys emerging. I mean, Peyton Jobe ended up having 7 tackles. He's never really played. He's played some backup role, but he started at nickel for us, and then Xavier Hernandez made his presence felt. You know, getting in the backfield and, you know, 6 tackles from a D-tackle position with the 2 block kicks. Also, when we needed to play on 3rd and 1, Abram Phillips blew up the running back when they're running quarterback power, and that stopped the drive and forced them to punt. So, and there's other guys. I mean, I thought Isaiah Hastings' interception was huge, really big turning point in the second half where we got a short porch and got a touchdown off that. You know, you got another guy that had 2 sacks, Cole Johnson. Cole was an all-conference player 2 years ago. Last year had a broken hand, so he played with the club the whole year and missed a few games. But, you know, we feel like Cole can do some really good things in the pass rush game. So we had guys step up. There's, of course, things you can clean up, you know. Morningside does such a good job in their RPO game where they're going to isolate their receivers and let the quarterback pick who has one-on-one coverage. So, you know, we've got a big challenge ahead of us this week. Our defense knows that, and you know, we got to come ready to go.
One more guy you touched on. I wanted to talk about him today, Abram Phillips. For years, you had Zach Phillippe doing the long snapping, okay? Never a worry. But now you have to have a new guy come in. Abram, a great athlete, and we always kid in the booth, if we never mention the long snapper's name, it's perfect.
That's exactly right. That's why we don't talk about him. No, he did a good job on punts and on field goals and extra points, and those points are difference makers. I thought our punt team really did a nice job. We were +7 in field goal in field position on the game, and you got a brand new punter, Scotty Robertson, came out and kicked really well. I thought our kicker and our kickoff specialist, Christian Klob, did a nice job as well too with placement on his kickoffs. We only had 1 kickoff we felt like they had good field position on. Otherwise, they were all inside the 25 or 20. So those guys came out and did a nice job. And they're really their first start. I know Christian had experience last year in the playoffs when Bruner got hurt, but really this is his first start.
So you touched on something. So kickoff guys aren't just going down there and just booting it as hard as they can. They're actually like trying to put it somewhere.
Yeah, we're trying to place the ball in the corner. You saw that a couple times we did a sky kick to force a fair catch. You know, Christian's got a good skill set where he can work all those different kicks. And at the end of the game, instead of letting them return a kick, because that's the best opportunity they have to get yards. 12 seconds left. We sky kick, fair catch to get the ball to 25 instead of maybe the 50. And if you get to the 50, you're in Hail Mary range. So they really didn't have much of an opportunity there at the end of the game, backed up on their own 25 and 12 seconds.
Okay, we're going to talk about today's game after, and I failed to do this last week, the JV. You've already had a JV game under your belt. Tell me about those guys.
Yeah, we have. We played University of St. Mary. Guys came out ready to go. It was a good atmosphere, a lot of people there. So, you know, got a lot of new guys, their first college opportunity to play in a game. And that was great to see. We have another one coming up on Sunday here at 4 o'clock versus Missouri Valley. So that'll be a good opportunity for us to get guys reps and see what we have coming in the future.
Okay. So, Coach, you know, your last 5 games, you've had number 8, number 3, number 1, number 3, and today you've got number 1 again in the nation as your opponents. Let's talk a little bit about Grandview, defending national champions. Obviously, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are. They're really well coached. They're going to have a new head coach this year, Coach E.J. Peterson. He has been on staff there for the last 6 years, so as the defensive coordinator, I've got a lot of respect for him. And, you know, he was an All-American player there for them when they started up their program. So, you know, he bleeds Grandview. And they have a really talented roster coming back. They have 15 starters in their top 22 that are seniors. And they got the National Player of the Year from last year, Jackson Waring, the quarterback that you have to defend, not only in the pass game, but with his ability to run the ball, a really big offensive line, explosive receivers, an experienced running back, a big tight end. And then defensively, they have the best defensive player in the country, in my opinion, in Jackson Filer, an edge rusher that is long. He's very quick. He's number 9. You know, and then at linebacker, they have a returning All-American in the John Argo. And then in the secondary, they just do a really nice job. And they're going to be long. They're going to be athletic. They're really solid in what they do defensively. So, you know, we have to be ready to go in every phase. And, you know, last year you watched the film from our game early in the season. I felt like we made a lot of mistakes, you know, from us screwing up our alignment assignment snap counts, so meaning we don't get the play right offensively and then give them an opportunity to get a stop without them having to really defend us. And then defensively giving up some blown assignments in the passing game. You know, third down, we give up a wide open pass for a 70-yard touchdown and have a guy that doesn't do his job, and so you just make it easy on him. And then on special teams, you know, giving up a fake field goal and so or a fake punt. So we have to do a good job of eliminating mistakes on our own end, because if you eliminate mistakes, then now you give yourself a chance versus a team like this, and then you better be physical. You got to match their physicality. They're the most physical team we played all year last year, and when you watch their Kaiser game, when I watched the national championship last year, they just out-physicaled Kaiser, and we know how good Kaiser is. So, you know, we got our hands full Saturday.
But, Coach, I would look for positives, and one is you do have one under your belt, and they come in looking for at game one, and that's got to be a benefit.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I feel like us getting that experience game one, especially with the new guys on our roster playing, you know, that's a big deal. And so now, and we played a really good opponent. And so now you know where the speed of the game is going to be, you know, what our strengths and what our weaknesses are from a schematic standpoint, who we need to try to drive the ball to on offense, defensively, you know, where we need to position our guys. And so it does give you a lot of confidence going into week two when you play a week one opponent as good as Morningside and come out with the win.
And at this point in the season, how has practice gone? And the guys are also now really settling into their academic year and having to work on that balance between the books and the field.
Yeah, exactly. Last week, everything's brand new, including going to class. This week, you know, now it's just kind of rinse and repeat. And that's a big deal, getting in a rhythm. And so the guys feel like this week's been a lot better for everybody involved, especially with our new guys. And when you're not having to yell at practice at somebody to do this, this, and this, and they just know and they do it, then that's and it relieves a lot, puts a lot of it relieves the coaches of a lot of stress in the upperclassmen, too, because we do a good job of holding those upperclassmen accountable for how their teammates are at practice. And I thought we've had a good week of practice for sure.
Well, Coach, we are looking forward to a great one today and wishing you the very best of luck up here in Des Moines.
All right. I appreciate it, Tom.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show, your home for Benedict and Raven football here on CARE Radio. The Amberwell Health pregame show continues next with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game coming up next.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. With their signature stack burgers, chicken sandwiches, and chicken strip baskets, there's something for everyone. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like the Hot Foot Sundae, Dipped Cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
As we're getting set for kickoff this afternoon of Raven football, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game. The first one for me, it comes down to the offensive line. You've got to keep Jackson Dooley clean this afternoon, as you got to look over at that Grandview defense led by Jackson Filer and Argo, the two best defenders probably in the conference. You flip the script to the defensive side of the ball, you're going to have to slow down Jackson Waring, the quarterback for Grandview. And not his passing, you've got to slow down his running. He's a guy who ran for over 700 yards last year. Don't allow him to pick up those third downs with his feet. If you can keep Dooley upright, slow down Waring, running the football, could be a big day for the Ravens this afternoon. Those are your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game kickoff coming up here next.
Keys to the Game have been brought to you by Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, part of the Amberwell pregame show, here on Hot Country 93.7, home of Benedictine Ravens football. We now go live to the stadium for Raven football, where Tom and Gus Kouse are standing by for live play-by-play and in-game analysis right here on your local sports authority, CARE 93.7, part of the MSC Radio Network.
KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, on the air at 93.7 FM, online at msconews.net. Click the Listen Live tab to connect with our entire family of radio stations.
You've trusted Amberwell with your health for years, from checkups to surgeries, in the good times and the harder ones. And now, when it matters most, they're here again with Amberwell Hospice Care. Receive compassionate end-of-life care from caregivers you already know and trust. It's care that understands your medical history, your values, and your family. You're never alone with Amberwell Hospice Care. Call 913-360-5520 or visit amberwellhealth.org.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Good afternoon and welcome to MediaCom Stadium in downtown Des Moines, Iowa, where we're getting set for what is inarguably the NAIA Game of the Week, as Benedictine is being hosted by Grandview in a matchup of number one and number four in the nation. Hello again, everybody, with Joseph, producing and engineering, back at Care Radio Sports Studios. Gus Counts with me here in the booth, Tom Counts. Gus, it is a perfect day. Chamber of Commerce weather, putting together a couple of teams that all the eyes of the country are focused on right here.
Yeah, you talk about this game. Flip that up just a little bit. Yeah, you talk about these two teams coming into this ball game. It doesn't mean a whole lot when it comes to conference standings, because Grandview is going to run away with the North, and for Benedictine, they're going to be, you know, right there in the end when it comes to the South Division, they have for the last 3 years. This game is one of those for Grandview. This is their chance to run it back. They're on the, you know, go-back tour as they won the national title last season against Kaiser, a team who Benedictine feels like probably should have beat down in Florida last year and been in that national title game against Grandview. Grandview is a team who brings back a lot of pieces from last year's team, including quarterback. Got it?
Yeah.
Including their quarterback, Jackson Waring. He's a guy who last year against Benedictine, he threw the ball for 186 yards, two touchdowns, but he also ran the ball for 123 yards and a touchdown on the afternoon.
Well, here we're going to get set to go. Benedictine is going to win the toss, elect to defer to the second half, and the Ravens are going to be kicking it off. And we're about ready to get things underway here this afternoon, as for the Ravens, it'll be Christian Kloby putting a toe to the football. A two-all return man back deep for the Vikings. They're going to settle in around their own five-yard line. We're set to go. Hope you enjoyed the kick. It is high end over end, and it's going to land 8 yards deep in the end zone and bounce out the back. It's going to be first and 10 for Grandview. Gus, we talked about it in the pregame. We talked with Coach Osborne, and it is no secret, the Ravens, with a game under their belt last week, a huge win against Morningside. Grandview, for them, it's going to be game one of the season here today.
Yeah, so for them, they're going to take a few minutes, you would think, to kind of work through the whole process because they are under first-year head coach E.J. Peterson. And by the way, that noise you hear, that is a siren test that goes off at noon here in Des Moines, so it should subside here pretty quickly. Grandview getting set for its first snap of the afternoon of the motion. Man is going to go to the right side. Quarterback going to keep it himself. Slows down, looks ahead, runs, hit, and it's going to be stacked up just short of the 30-yard line. And we're going to see that a lot because we know that Jackson Waring can throw the ball, but he is a runner's quarterback. How about this? Last season, on 160 carries, Jackson rushes for 744 yards, 13 touchdowns. He loves the contact. Some quarterbacks don't like it so much. That's not him. Yeah, and on first down, picking up 5 yards is a big start. You're going to be now looking at a 2nd and 5 for this Grandview offense. Running back is going to be Dalton Van Pelt. He's about 7 yards behind the quarterback. Play action, QB rolls right, looks right, throwing deep, has a man wide open, undefended downfield, and can't catch the ball. Well, I'll tell you what, Tristan Williams was open inside the Raven 40-yard line as he had beaten the coverage, but the pass a little bit out in front of him. And a break for the Ravens, it'll bring up a 3rd down.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to sit there and talk about that one again and make sure that everybody's on the same page because turned around, running down the field late, you saw Trey Williams over there. And so for the Ravens, cleaning up the backside is going to be very important. Jordan Crum is going to be the far side receiver on the right, 5 in the pattern.
They're going to go sideline to sideline for Waring on a 3rd down 5 call. Grandview, the defending national champions, at their own 30-yard line, 3rd down and 5. QB 5 yards deep, drops straight back, looking over the middle, has a man open over the middle. It's going to be caught across the 40-yard line, 1st down and a little bit more. It's going to be caught by Curtis Horlock, a redshirt freshman, hometown kid out of West Des Moines, covered by Trey Williams. And guess they're looking at Trey a little bit.
Yeah, that's on Trey Williams, giving a little bit of too much of a cushion, able to make the reception for Grandview. That time you also saw middle linebacker Zachary Lacombe in the middle of the field. He is just sitting back there spying quarterback Jackson Waring.
You talked about Jordan Crum over to the right side. You've also got Isaiah Tolke. He's out of Lamar's, Iowa. And they're going to be the 2 men wide to the right side. QB is rolling right, looking left, now looking down the middle. Got a man open over the center, and it's going to be batted away from Tolke. And it's going to go incomplete. Isaiah unable to get a handle on that ball and pull that thing in. Peyton Joby, the Raven coverage guy. You know, we always love to welcome all of our fans. We've got people listening from all over the country, guys. We've got Ravens International listening, and got one of our favorite Raven fans in Jeff City listening here this afternoon, and longtime Benedictine guy, longtime fellow at the school, and Dean Elmer Fangman. Mr. Fangman, we hope you're enjoying the game here today. It is beautiful in Des Moines, and we're thinking about you. Second and 10 at the 43-yard line. Motion to the right. Hand off. First time running straight in the middle of the line, and the Ravens are going to stop that for only a gain of a couple of yards by Ethan Schultz, the backup running back.
Nice job right there for the Ravens. Big Kevin Harris kind of fills that thing up. 6'1", 285-pound senior out of Dallas, Texas. Now for Grandview, looking at a 3rd and long. They're looking at 3rd and 8. Going to take pass rushers out, bringing a couple D-backs.
Exactly. BC looks like they're going to fall back a little bit on this one, and they're going to have coverage deep in the backfield. You got Dylan Witherspoon way back there for Benedictine, and back there also is going to be Isaiah Haston. They're going to be about 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage where it is a 3rd down 8 from their own 45-yard line. Waring again back to throw, looking all the time in the world. Look at that pancake block, and that's going to bring a penalty right here at the 36-yard line. Big offensive lineman had gotten down there, right tackle James Wardick, and as he had his guy down, he just was pummeling him on the ground. We'll see what this call is going to be. The microphone not working, but it's a holding call.
So the penalty is going to be declined. And you talk about Jackson Waring having a lot of time in the pocket to throw right there, and that's because the Ravens are doing a very conscious effort of not rushing him too hard. They're going to force him to stay in the pocket. They don't want to allow those running lanes to where he can get loose and pick up those rushing yards, pick up that 1st down with his feet.
So here we go. It's going to bring up a 4th down, and Benedictine with his punt return unit out there. The kick nearly blocked. It is high. It is unreturnable. And Joseph is going to field it to the 25-yard line. Longapuyana will give the Ravens a football. It'll be Benedictine with his first possession of the game, 1st and 10 at his own 25.
No score so far this afternoon at 12 minutes and 40 to go in the opening quarter. Taking the opening kickoff, one first down, and then the Grandview offense was stymied. Ravens are going to come out over the ball, and for Benedict, and it is your senior quarterback at Lawrence, Kansas, Jackson Dooley. He will have Dalton Witherspoon on his left hand, wraparound handoff. Dalton, he will pick up about four short of the 30-yard line, getting to the 29. And Cade Sheedy on a Davenport with a Grandview tackle. Second down, six for BC. We're early in the ball game on the near side of this really nice Mediacom Stadium here on the campus of Drake University. Great facility. Tons and tons of Grandview fans. You look across the way to the visitors, and there are a lot of Ravens who've come up here today. Both Witherspoon and Ugorji are going to be in the backfield on a second down, six call. Handoff is going to go to Xavier. He will bounce, cut outside, turn it up, gets the first down as he gets beyond the 35.
Nice little play right there by Xavier Ugorji following the lead blocking of Dalton Witherspoon coming over. Michael Banks out of Van Meter to make the tackle, but not before the Ravens able to get their first down in the afternoon.
Ugorji, after that one carry, going to check out of the ball game, and it'll be LeBron Jackson. He had a great week last week.
Count on one hand how many times the Ravens usually go with two running backs.
Very, very very little. And it's going to be first down, back to throw. Dooley, deep, deep drop, fires a short pass. It's going to be caught. Coming out of the backfield at the 40, at the 45-yard line, Witherspoon slashes to right at the first down mark at the 46. So they're going to give it to him. They are. First and 10, Benedict, and a 10-yard gain.
Advantage of that turf field, right? As long as it's on my side, it matches up the other side. It is going to be the second first down of the game for the Ravens, and starting to move the ball out nearing midfield at the 46.
Going to stay with Witherspoon. Witherspoon, one of the Witherspoon twins. He's on the offensive side. Dalton, Dylan on the other side. 5'11" senior from Windsor, Missouri. QB back to throw again. Looking again, throws short. Witherspoon with a catch, and he kind of gets the ball thrown a little behind him. Has to contort himself, but makes the catch. But it'll be a short gain of about three, just shy of the 50.
Right now, we're seeing Grandview set back in a little bit of a nickel defense, and by nickel we mean five defensive backs in the ball game, and it's allowing Benedictine to kind of run those underneath routes. It's been allowing them to run the football. Right now, Grandview just doesn't want to give up the home run at the moment.
And they go back to that two running back set. Jackson Dooley, out of the pistol with a running back on either side. Now he's going to put Witherspoon in motion, throw it to him, flaring him over to the left side. He's at the 45, 50, turns the corner. It's going to be short of the first down, but into Grandview territory at the 46-yard line, third down two for Benedictine. That's what I love about the Ravens is you're taking what you're able to take. You're not looking for more than's out there.
Now look out there on this third and short. We're going to see, checking into the ballgame for the first time, number nine, Jackson Filer. You'll see him on the far side with all the hair coming out. He is going after the quarterback here.
We'll be talking about Jackson Filer. We'll give you a little history about him and why he's so important to this Grandview team. Ravens are going to bring over an extra blocker, put him on the wing, try to get to Filer. They'll pitch it to the outside, and Xavier is going to be hit, bouncing short of the first down, and getting over there, Kellen Moore. They're going to give it to him?
Yeah.
All right.
Reaches out at the end, and the officials are going to talk about it for a second, but they're going to say, go ahead and move those sticks, first and 10, Ravens.
I was going to say, what had happened was Kellen Moore, the strong safety, came up and went headlong into the running back, and I didn't know if he was able to proceed far enough forward. Ugorji's not a big guy, and I thought maybe he was knocked backward, but they're going to say first down. Benedictine continues to move the ball. Back to throw. Dooley throws it short. Ugorji, 45-40. Dances 35. Another Raven first down at the 34-yard line.
You notice what the Ravens have done the last two plays? Ran right at Jackson Filer, right? Ran option at him because he's aggressive. You were able to make the pitch. That time, they knew he was going to scream upfield. What do? You throw the screen where the defensive end had vacated over there. He put a big hit on Jackson Dooley, but the Ravens with another first down.
Chase Sikarski. It's going to be wide to the near side. And again, they're going to give it to Ugorji. Good for another five. John Argo. Wow, he is a guy to talk about for the Graceland, or for the Grandview defense. John Argo is the defensive player of the year in the Heart last season.
Yeah, not only the Heart, but also the nation. Like, he was a stud last season. 92 tackles for this team. Had two interceptions, first team all conference. He's a stud on this defense as well.
Second down, six. Benedictine in his first possession of the afternoon, moving the football pretty briskly. They're going to go motion over to the right side, bring Tyler Watson over here, hand off, trying to get to the edge, but hit at the line of scrimmage and kind of stood up, no further progress made, maybe the gain of a yard. Tucker Dieherber is going to make that stop, make it a third down five, Ravens at the 28-yard line of Grandview. Yeah, that's what you want right there. And it is third down call. Looking over to the far sideline, Jackson Dooley communicating with his head coach, Sharp Raven, offensive coordinator, Joel Osborne. Again, they're going to bring a man to the right side. QB straight back, looking. Oh, man, over the middle, and the diving effort is going to go incomplete because the pass was out in front of and low. And for JoJo, it was going to be a really difficult catch, and the Ravens are going to be looking at a fourth down. Will they bring in the field goal unit? They will. And Christian Klobe is going to be stretching the limits of his range with what is going to be a 46-yard field goal effort.
And the wind kind of blowing across this field, like
Diagonal
on the field. So
right foot soccer style, and this thing is dead center in the middle. It'll be held by quarterback Jackson Dooley. It is down. It is up. Got the height, and it is no good. Wide to the left side. So Benedictine drives the ball way downfield, stumbles on fourth down, and to the delight of the Grandview fans, comes up unsuccessful on the field goal.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, again, when you're on the road, you're playing the defending national champions, you don't want to give up any extra opportunities, and there was a chance for the Ravens to get on the board and take a lead. After that drive, they find themselves with 47 total yards compared to Grandview with only 20 so far.
So, back to the football goes Grandview. Each team with a possession, neither team with any points on the board to show for it. It's scoreless. We're halfway through the opening quarter here in Des Moines, Iowa. A battle of the huge teams here today. Handoff into the middle, bouncing outside, eluding a defender, getting to the outside, pulling away, and finally shunted out of bounds after a gain of about three. The Ravens forced that run by Van Pelt to go the width of the field, and Nehemiah Hicks kept him from turning the corner. It'll bring up a second and seven.
Yeah, great job right there by the Raven defense to stretch the field. Use the boundary as that added defender over there, and great job. It's going to bring up that second and long for Grandview. Now, this is a Grandview team who does bring back a lot of offensive pieces, but they are a defensive-minded coaching staff with E.J. Peterson being your longtime defensive coordinator and Jordan Knock, your first-year offensive coordinator this season.
QB's back to throw. Rolling to the left is going to be Waring. He'll throw to a man out of the backfield and an open Ethan Schultz, but that pass was above and beyond and well out of the reach of Schultz. It'll go incomplete. Zach Lacombe, the coverage over here, and Schultz was probably just as happy that he didn't have to field that ball because he was going to get hit really hard after a very short gain. For Grandview, again, it is third and seven. The Raymond defense guys playing really well.
Yeah, now with his third down on the afternoon, Grandview one of two on third down conversion.
You got Tristan Williams coming over here. I'm telling you what, this guy is so, so good. Trips to the left, one to the right. And Waring, straight back to throw again, looking over the middle, all the time, wide open, man, going to be caught, breaks the tackle, 45, 50, Raven territory, 45-yard line. He just ran through the arms of a defender, and Asaya Tokai, finally tackled by Cole Johnson, the defensive end, had to get downfield to make that stop. Biggest play of the day for Grandview.
Yeah, you talk about this Grandview receiving core, and Asaya is probably my favorite player. He was last year as well. He is a guy who can stretch the field, had 731 yards with eight touchdowns last year. But Benedictine held him at bay last year. One reception, only 8 yards. Well, he's gone over that already today.
Tristan Williams to the right side. Jordan Crum to the left side. First and 10 at the Raven 46-yard line. Here's Grandview. Now they're going to run the ball. They have not done that a lot. Bouncing it to the right side. And finally, swarmed over is going to be Van Pelton. He'll get about 3 yards on a carry, but those are three really tough yards. BC doing a good job of stopping the run. And Gus is Cole Johnson and Zach Lacombe, two great defenders, make that tackle. The Ravens' only trouble on defense so far is getting any pressure
on Waring. They have not.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to today, right? I think they've kind of relegated themselves to the fact of we're not going to pressure him. That way he cannot run.
Second down and six. Straight ahead run again to the 40, maybe 39. No, just to the 40-yard line. Ravens with a quick hit and a last stop on Van Pelt. That's old Dylan Bennett in there. He's out of Katy, Texas. A lot of Texans on this Benedictine roster. We got some Raven Texan fans here, and now we got a player who's down on the field for Grandview, and we're going to take a timeout as they look at him. Timeout on the field. We're down to 5 minutes to go and a quick moving opening quarter in Des Moines. Benedictine, Grandview, we're scoreless.
It's football season, and there's no better place to catch every snap than Mueller's Locker Room in Atchison. With TVs everywhere you look, daily food specials, and ice cold drinks, you'll feel like you're right on the 50-yard line. From kickoff to the final whistle, the best plays happen at Mueller's Locker Room. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your game day headquarters all season long. Mueller's Locker Room. Locker Room.
Player coming off the field with the help of the trainers is big Christian Stoller. And he is, Gus, if he's not back out there, it's going to be a loss. An all-conference player, 6'3", 330 out of Owine, Iowa. He is a big man.
So now they're going to bring their backup left tackle and move him to right guard.
Oh, here we go, third down, five. Grandview at the Benedictine 41 in a scoreless game. QB's back, throws it to his running back out of the backfield, and way over his head. Is it an incomplete pass or a lateral? They're going to say it's incomplete as he was looking on the near side for, I got 20 over here, and that would be Chase Regler, a 6'1 running back out of Carroll, Iowa. So here we go, fourth down, and are they going to punt this away? Are they going to go for it on fourth and five at the Raven 41? They're going to punt. Braden Corey in for the second time today.
Only punted twice last season for this team. So was here last year, did not punt much. Two punts, 77 total punting yards.
It's going to be a second punt of the day here. Snap is back. He'll advance on the ball and trying to keep it in the field of play. Joseph makes a fair catch at the 15 this time. And that high, unreturnable kind of a kick, and the Ravens are going to have the football back. We are still scoreless in Des Moines with 4:32 to go in the opening quarter. Okay, guys, we thought this game would be close, but did we expect it to be close defensively, or did we expect it to be close with a lot of points?
I expected some points, right? Like, I know that Grandview is a very defensive-minded team. We talked about the head coach. He was a star here on defense, and then he also was the defensive coordinator for a long time. But I just expected that these two offenses would light the scoreboard a little more.
Got you, Gorgie, in the backfield for the Ravens. Jackson is back to throwing penalty markers prior to the snap. So this play is going to be blown dead. 4.5 to go.
And I'm like Kasem here. I saw the defensive end over here. Eli Moses got a little antsy. I thought he jumped across and drew the tackle off. But instead, it's going to be a 5-yard penalty against the Ravens. So they're going to be set up at their own 10 for a 1st and 15 after the false start.
First penalty of the ball game by Benedictine. Now it's back at their own 10. And now we have another penalty. And it's going to be a false start, Benedictine. And this time it's Lagafuliana who got fired up and moved off sides, and the Ravens doing themselves no favors here. Guess now they got themselves backed up to the end zone, down to the 5-yard line. 1st and 20. It's hard enough to get 1st and 10 against a really good defensive team like Grandview.
Victor the Viking trying to get the Grandview crowd into it. Look over here to the near side. Now they're going to move him to the far side. It's going to be Titan Osborne.
He's out there for, I think, the first time today. QB's back. Quick flare. Left side. It's going to go to Titan, and he'll pick up about 10 of those yards, get back up to the 15-yard line. The Ravens are going to take that. You don't need it all. You need part of it, and they got half of it right there on first down.
Well, so many times teams get into their mind that I'm looking at 1st and 20. I've got to pick up all of it, right? Pick up some of it, right? Like, you try to get anywhere from that 6+, and that's what the Ravens did right there, able to hit Titan on a quick out route for 10. Now it's 2nd and 10 for the Raven offense.
With Ugarte staying in the back, down to the running back. The pitch will go to Xavier. He'll try the right side, slows down, looking for blocking, gets to the 20, penalty marker sale, and a nice run's coming back.
Yeah, that thing's going to come back way at the end of the play. And how many times we talk about a penalty that did not affect the play? It's what we're going to have right here. I think it's going to be another hold against the Ravens.
So there you have it. If this was microphone business, not working at all, so our apologies for that. But at least we have a working clock today, which is kind of nice.
You catch a little bit of that call that it was holding against the Ravens, and when they step this thing off, it's going to be somewhere around the 8.
Okay, Gus, what happens is when you're playing the number one team in the nation, what you cannot do is have 3 penalties in 2 plays. Okay, that is not how you win huge games like this. Is we're inside 4 minutes to go in a scoreless opening quarter. Go ahead.
Last year against Grandview, Benedictine with only 9 penalties for 82 yards.
2nd down, back at the 8-yard line. 2nd down at about 17. I got to get this up to the 25. Quarterback is back from the goal line, throws over the middle, and it's going to be behind a wide open receiver, Chase Sukarski, and it will go incomplete. And Jackson doesn't miss the guy that often like that.
Yeah, that time he threw it behind him and a little low, so Sukarski had to go back and try to make that knee-high catch. But it's all said and done. It's now a 3rd and long, and I'm telling you, you got to expect this Grandview defense to be sending him here.
Yeah, is this where you pin him back and go after him, or is this where you drop back and
send the house, see what happens?
Okay, 3rd down. Ravens at their own 8-yard line. 3rd and long. QB's back. The pressure's on. Goes over the middle into double coverage. It's going to go incomplete. He was looking over the middle for LeBron Jackson, but there was nobody around, and there are no penalties. And there's the one I was waiting for to come in late.
Because coming across the field was Die Herber, and he lowered that helmet. Wow.
That's LeBron, a 3 first down.
LeBron did not have any of that action. And now Die Herber's throwing his hands up. We'll see.
We just get nothing out of these guys.
But so they are going to call unsportsmanlike conduct against Grandview. It's a 15-yard penalty. We'll bring the ball all the way out to the 23? 22.
Can't believe the side judge is allowing 3 assistant coaches to be out there just chewing on him on the Grandview sideline. Usually they will not put up with that. Maybe a little from the head coach, but assistant coaches got no business talking to that guy in the stripes out there. But for the Ravens, a huge penalty by Grandview gives them new life. 1st and 10, BC. Back to throw. Dooley's going to be sacked. He waited way too long, pulled it back, cocked his arm, looked downfield, and Jackson Filer says, no, I've got you, and he did. After making a lot of great decisions last week, we've seen Jackson have a couple of errors here. A moment ago, with a little bit of a throw behind his guy, maybe threw it a little hard, and this time just hanging on too long.
Yeah, right now playing a little amped up, right?
Yeah.
You just got to kind of get into that calm zone. And right now for the Ravens, you got to realize we're nearing the end of the first quarter with 3 minutes left, and this is only the 2nd possession of the ball game for Benedictine.
No score in the game as we're at that 3-minute mark. Single man to the backfield, 2nd down, and about 17, 18 to go for BC. QB's back, fires one over the middle. It's got to be Joseph at the 25-yard line. So he will get 12 of those. And that's what you want to do. We talked about it a second ago. It's going to bring up a 3rd down and about 7 or 8.
Right now, you look at this Grandview defense. Their safeties are kind of playing over the middle of the field. It means you're having your guys on the outsides. They're one-on-one with no over-the-top help. I think you send tight and try to burn this defense a little bit because I think they're susceptible in the back end.
But the Ravens have been working some crossing patterns, some like tunnels, and you haven't seen that 9 yet, really. Here we go, 3rd down. 7 for the Ravens. Motion is going to go to the right side. It's going to be Tyler Watson out there. QB back to throw again. Fires one into traffic. Picked off. That was a bad decision. 40, 35, 30. Down inside the 20-yard line. And once again, Jackson tried to force that one in double coverage.
That time he was looking for his receiver over there, the second-string tight end, Tyler Watson. Watson couldn't hold on to it. The ball tipped into the air, and we're going to get a big interception for Grandview and set them up with excellent field position.
Vikings takes the ball away, and with 2:01 to go in the first, they are already knocking on the door. It'll be 1st and 10, Grandview at the 19-yard line. They're taking a lot of time on the near side.
if you're at home and you're listening to the game but you're following the stats and you're wondering why Caden Austin is having this kind of a day, he's not. It's not Caden Austin quarterbacking. So the stats are incorrect. Now Jackson Dooley, 6 of 10 passing with an interception.
2:01 to go in the first quarter. Waring is up under center. We'll make the handoff. Running back tries the right side. He's going to be hit, dropped, gaining about 3 yards. It'll be Dalton Van Pelt taking it into the right side. And for Grandview guys, they're in no hurry. They will take all the time they need. It's a scoreless game. They'd like to score maybe by the end of the quarter, and if not, they will be happy to put points on the board early in the second quarter. They're down to the Benedictine 17-yard line. Beautiful sunny day here in the middle of Iowa. 62 degrees at kickoff. A little wind out of the north-northwest at about 8.52% humidity. It is a beautiful azure sky and 13 inches of mercury. Second down, 8 is your call. QB will roll left, thinking about running, now thinking about throwing, now thinking about running. Now it's going to go ahead, get inside the 15, down to the 14-yard line. He earned those 3 yards. Raymond did a good job of making him decide to run, and then Dylan Witherspoon making a tackle.
Yeah, the whole time he kept the ball up. He kept acting like he was going to throw the ball. Finally, by the time he tucked it and pushed forward, he pushes up there, and the Vikings are going to look at a 3rd and 4 right now. The ball inside the 15 down to the 14-yard line.
And again, remember, Jackson Waring is a running kind of quarterback. He likes to run. He's a good runner. And Gus, by the way, that wind is no longer at 8. I think it's picked up more than 18. It is beginning to really pick up out of the north. QB will keep it. Boots left. He's at a 10. He's got a first down at the 8-yard line. And it is going to be, I think, 1st and goal. They're going to look across the field at the sticks. And now they're going to say, move them. 1st and goal, Vikings.
This time Isaiah Hastings comes up and makes the stop from that safety position. But again, on a 3rd and 4, you don't like to see your safety be the guy to make the tackle there.
That is going to be the final play of the opening quarter. We'll be back here in Des Moines, Iowa. After 1, it is the Benedictine Ravens, the Grandview Vikings. We're tied at scoreless.
Taco? Burger? Why not both? Try Taco John's one-of-a-kind taco burger with 100% North American beef, zesty mild sauce, lettuce, and cheddar cheese on a warm bun. Taco Burgers, only available at Taco John's. Come try a taco burger today. At Taco John's, we believe a better Taco Tuesday starts with better tacos. So that's what we make. And how do you make a better taco even better? Making it $1.39 on Tuesdays couldn't hurt. Better tacos are just $1.39. Every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's.
Looking for Benedictine, guys. The opening quarter statistics, they're not terrible. I mean, you got 61 yards. Your opponent has 61 yards. And the Ravens have done an okay job until they turn it over. And now the Vikings are set up with a 1st and goal as we go to the second quarter. No score yet, but it is Grandview at the Raven 9.
In the first quarter, the Ravens 3 penalties for 18 yards. Grandview with that 1 penalty for 15, and they were able to really get out from under it after the interception by Levi Manson.
Don't you think those 3 penalties really kind of led up to that turnover, forcing some things to happen?
Yeah, because on that possession, they just had, 2 false starts and then a holding. And for the Ravens, sometimes you just can't get out of your own way. When those penalties start stacking up, you just got to step back and say, hey, calm down and all get on the same page.
By the way, Chris Stoller's back out there for Grandview on the offensive line here to begin the second quarter. So he is well enough to get out on the field. 1st and goal, Grandview. Now moving from left to right in the second quarter. QB's going to keep it. Cuts, hit from behind. Oh, a nice play out there by Cole Johnson. He is so good at what he does.
Yeah, I saw Cole's family walking around a little bit before the game. He did a great job of just stalking the quarterback down from behind, and that's what he does, is just chases him down. 6'2", 235-pound defensive end out of Louisville.
Isaiah Tokey is going to come into the game, and I'll tell you what, he was on the sideline. He's made the biggest catch of the afternoon for either team, a 23-yard grab back in the opening quarter for Grandview. And he's going to be out there and in the slot to the right side. Jordan Coombe is going to be over a wide line to the right, single man to the backfield. 2nd and goal at the 8. QB's back. Got all day. Just rolling around, standing around. There's a big holding, no penalty. He's hit in the backfield, breaks away, and finally throws it away because of the inability of the Raven defender to bring Waring to the ground.
That time, Abram Phillips able to put the pressure on him, and now Jackson Waring got up.
He's mad.
Barked. He was not happy with the way he was spun around and been allowed to. It was veering up now a third and goal.
Okay, if you don't like that, then go down. You know, if you're going to fight to keep your balance, to keep your legs under you, and that guy is trying to pull you down, you can't be mad at him.
Right.
Here's a third and goal call. Big defensive call for Benedictine. Grandview moving to the south, again from left to right. It is third and goal from the 8. Trips to the right side. Single man to the backfield for Waring. QB back to throw again. Markers hit the field, and is a play blown dead? It is. And that's going to be against the offense. Thus, I'm surprised to see. I figured we'd have, like, a big running back in the back to either catch the ball or block for Waring. And instead, we've got the smallest guy on the roster, Isaiah Dunn, or rather, Chase Radigler. And he's back here sporting number 20, and he is just a little guy in the backfield.
So it's going to be a false start against Grandview. So they're going to back this thing all the way up to the 13, where it will be third and goal from the 13-yard line.
They're going to go the same alignment, basically. Four receivers in a pattern and one man in a backfield. And now we got Waring looking over to the near sideline, checking in with head coach Peterson, offensive coordinator Jordan Knock in his first year. Third down goal, 13 QBs back. Again with time. Throws over the middle, wide open, touchdown. It is Isaiah Tokey. You knew it'd be him. And Grandview has gotten on the board first.
13-yard touchdown strike, and that time just running a post and got right in front of his defender, able to come back, catch the football, and make a nice touchdown grab on that third and goal.
Looking out for the PAT. It will be held by Braden Corey, the punter. It'll be kicked by 5'7" Corey Wood. Corey, right foot kicker. Wind is behind him. And he splits the upright, and Grandview has taken a touchdown lead. We'll have a break at 14-1 to go in the opening half in Des Moines, Iowa. Grandview 7, Benedictine nothing.
Atchison Auto Parts, it's your locally owned and operated independent Napa dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part. And with locations in Leavenworth, Smithville, and Sabetha, they can get that part same day, if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Augustus, the Benedictine defense is huddled up on the far side around there. Coordinator Trevor Strong, you got to ask, and I'm going to ask you, is there a solution to getting pressure on Jackson Waring?
No, I keep saying this. That's,
I mean, what do you do?
You don't. Like, that's the answer. The way to beat Grandview, do not pressure Waring. Force him to throw the ball, because what he wants is he wants you coming at him at angles and leaving him running lane. Today, the answer is three guys. Don't rush. Stay back. Keep a little bit of a pillow in front of you.
Here comes the Grandview kick. Benedictine. Duo of return guys at the 5. It is end over end and spinning away, and it's going to go out the end zone. And the Ravens are going to have the football first and 10, but trailing today.
Which I know for you, it's probably just like nails on the chalkboard. You want to see the quarterback get hit, and you want to see, you know, some action in the backfield. But right now, it's like, hey, let my back end of the defense do its work. Jackson Waring's a much better runner, much more comfortable running the football than he is throwing it, right? So force him to beat me with his arm.
But I just know that as a defensive back, you can track and you can defend that guy so long, and finally you can't. I mean, he is going to get away. He's just going to.
You're just going to hope that you got some guys playing center field.
First and 10, Raymond's at the 25-yard line. Pass right side, and what an acrobatic catch on the far side for the Ravens. Great job, Isaiah Haston. And that was not a well-thrown ball by Jackson. And Haston made a fantastic catch for a 9-yard gain.
Isaiah doesn't look like a free safety playing wide receiver, does he?
No, he does not.
Precious.
He is just capable of playing. You can have him play any spot out there. It is a second and one. Ravens at their own 34. QB back again. Steps up in the pocket. Going deep. And absolutely no one over there. No receiver. No defender. They're looking for a, they're looking for a grounding call. And, yeah,
so Lagafuiana, instead of running the flag, he ran the post. So he cut into the middle of the field. Jackson threw that thing right on the numbers, and it just looked bad.
The nearest person to that ball when it hit the ground was the lady making snow cones over there in the concession stand. 13:24 to go in the opening half. Here's a handoff straight ahead and picking up a first down. Dalton Witherspoon. If you need a yard, you know Dalton's going to make that with no hesitation. Powers ahead. Tackle to the free safety. First and 10 for Benedictine. Now at their own 38-yard line.
Graham, you're going to change out their front four and try to get some fresh legs up there. They're going to bring in Nolan Simpson, Eli Moses, Joel Grinner, and Simeon Reichenbach.
Ravens will motion into the middle. That's TZ. They have really. Both teams that we've seen so far against Benedictine has taken Zimmerman out of the game. Here's a handoff. Bouncing outside. Here's some room to the 40. And now slowing down, trying to cut into the middle, but Witherspoon is going to be tackled on the outside by Tucker. And it's going to bring up a gain of about six. Let's call it second and four. Benedictine at his own 44-yard line.
We are seeing more two-back sets for the Ravens today, and it's been out of the gun, so you've had a guy on either hip. But Dalton Witherspoon and Xavier Ugorji both in the ballgame right now.
Four-down lineman defensively. The Ravens are going to drop a man back, and that again is going to be Zimmerman. He will advance to the left side, block the edge, pick the outside, and here goes Ugorji, and he'll be just at the first-down marker. And again, you had Zimmerman out there, and Gus, how about Wade Trey Madrid? Did you see him pull out and get outside to kind of help secure that edge? And that is a Benedictine first down for you, Gorgie.
Yeah, Trey's out there at 6'3", 275 pounds, did a great job of, you know, pulling from that right guard and getting up in there, pushing it out. And now the official's going to stop playing for just a little bit. We got a little issue with the chains over there.
Going to try to make some repairs on the fly. Hey. How about next summer we go to Kabul, Missouri? I've never been there. It just sounds like a cool place, right? The hometown of Trey Madrid. Raymond's got a lot of guys out of Missouri. You got Eddie Swislowski, also out of Kabul. And, of course, the Witherspoons out of Windsor and Hillsboro, Missouri. You've got Chase Sukarski, who we've seen get quite a bit of PT here today. So Benedictine doing a good job in the Show Me State. How's they going to do over in Columbia today?
Hopefully not well.
QB back to throw. First down. Deep, deep drop. And a short pass. Nearly picked and stepping out to pick it up. It's going to be a 2-yard gain. And coming to his feet kind of slowly, the Raven receiver.
Yeah, your running back kind of tweaked that ankle a little bit. He reaches down, grabs that right lower leg, and he's going to gingerly make his way off the field. Now the Ravens looking around trying to make sure they're going to have enough guys out on the field on this one. Sikarski will check in. You're also going to have Trey Herbert III and Cameron Dover.
Good pitch outside. Ugorji cuts into the middle. He had no blocking, and I'm telling you what, there was nowhere for him to go. He'll recover near the line of scrimmage. John Argo. You know what? We haven't talked about Argo much. Ravens have done a pretty good job of keeping him out of the plays defensively for Grandview.
Yeah, you talk about John Argo, the 6'1" linebacker out of Davenport Assumption High School. Doing a great job coming up, making the stop right there.
At the 50-yard line, it's a third down, 8 for Benedictine. 10.5 to go in the opening half. Ravens trail 7-0. Motion is going to come to the right side for BC. Filling the slot way over here is going to be Cameron Dover. Of course, he will move right. Quarterback's all alone in the backfield. Steps up, pumps once, down, pumps again. Thorne, he's got a man wide open, caught at the 30, and out of bounds, it'll be Cameron. Dover was wide open, and Gus, if he didn't have so much momentum carrying him to the sideline, he could have turned that up for a lot of yards. The defense was beaten.
Yeah, right there, found the open spot, and nice job by Jackson Dooley.
Yeah.
He was getting ready to throw, and then he stopped, he set his feet, and then he just kind of flings the ball out there. Great job making sure to get it out there. Find the open receiver. It's first and 10 for the Ravens. Ball all the way down inside the 30. They're going to mark it down. We'll call it the 29-yard line. We'll be first and 10 with 10-10 left in the first half.
Dooley back to throw again, fires it left and way over the head of his intended receiver, Tyler Watson. I think what these two teams have done, Gus, they've made some mistakes, but you know what? They've recovered from them. They've been patient. They have stayed with the game plan. Neither of these coaching staffs have panicked, and we've got a really close game at 10:04 to go in the half. It's 7-0. The Vikings of Grandview leading Benedictine, but the Ravens are driving here.
Ravens are going to go with two tight ends on this set. As Watson started to walk out, and Zimmerman said, no, you're staying as well. We're going to go too tight.
Got a vibe about JoJo over here on the near side. His coverage is 10 yards deep off him. The quarterback is rolling back, looking to throw out of the backfield. Instead, he's going to go. He's got Zimmerman. He drops it at the 15. Hits him in the palms. And TZ, who doesn't miss, does not catch that one.
He never misses that ball. And that's one he's going to wish he had back. Now, that's a play that the Ravens are going to come back to later in the ballgame, because they ran kind of like a little bunch set over here with Titan Osborne, Tanner Zimmerman, Tyler Watson. Well, Zimmerman went this way, and then you had Titan Osborne drags all the way across the backside of the field. He was open as well, so a lot of misdirection right there really worked.
Herbert wide to the left side, LeBron wide to the left side, and Ravens are going to send a third guy, Xavier Ugorji, out of the backfield, wide to the left side. 9:58 to go in the first half. Back to throw. Looking, throwing late, and got a man open at the 15 to the 10, and the ball's ripped out of his hands, and the Ravens are going to waste it. It's going to be a turnover by Trey Herbert after making a catch. Then he coughs up the football, and the Vikings will take it away.
The defender coming off the field right now, holding that left hand, and somebody went to give him a five, and he said, leave it alone. Not sure if he didn't jar his wrist after a play like that, but an impressive job by the Grandview defense forcing a second turnover. See, that arm is just down.
Yeah, he's badly hurt, because as he reached in, I think he just damaged himself in knocking that ball out, and the trainers are over there just huddled around him. I'm not sure he comes back today. We'll see how that happens.
So another turnover for the Ravens. This one all the way down inside the 10. Marked down at the 7-yard line where Grandview is going to take over. A lot of field in front of them, but a big turnover right there.
First and 10, Grandview with a 7-0 lead gets the football back. 9:40 to go in the first half. Quarterback looking. Got all day. Throws one. Crossing pattern underneath at the 10, 15, a gain of 7 yards. Nice 7-yard pickup for Grandview on a first down play, as Waring standing midpoint of the end zone, looking across the field, and finally picks his guy crossing from right to left. It's going to bring up a second down and a couple of yards for Valley. 9:20 to go in the first half. Or for Grandview, 9:20 to go in the first half. QB hands off. A running play into the middle. Gets the first down up across the 20, giving it to Dalton Van Pelt, this team's leading running back, second team all-conference last year. Gus, last week, we talked to Trevor Strong, the new defensive coordinator for Benedictine, and as we continue to meet some of the new coaching staff for the Ravens at halftime today, we're going to have Sean Schnabel along with us. He's a tight ends coach. Got a great story how he got to Benedictine and his travels and coaching. So join us at halftime. We'll talk to Coach Schnabel. Here's a handoff, bouncing to the outside, 25, breaks the tackle at the 30, 35-yard line. Ravens can't bring him down. Finally took three defenders to get in front of and stop Van Pelt, led by Dylan Witherspoon. They're going to move those chains, get the football all the way out to the 37-yard line. And now Van Pelt comes off the field, kind of holding his right side a little bit. Yeah, you can be sure. When you got two top teams in the nation out here, there's a lot of contact, okay?
You guys are all going to be sore tomorrow.
First and 10, Grandview from their 37. And again, third time in a row they're going to run the football, and this time the Ravens with a nice submarine tackle by Dylan Bennett. There's going to be a short gain. Markers all over the field after the play is over. There's been a lot of chit-chat going on out there. Not sure that's what's happening here. Starting left tackle Nate Timmons comes running off the field. First team all-conference guy for Grandview. He comes running off the field to the near sideline and comes out of the game.
We're going to get in unsportsmanlike conduct against the Ravens, I believe.
I wish they had the technology.
Personal foul. Yeah. Against the Ravens. And that's a kid out of Van Meter. And talk about Van Meter, Iowa. Well, there are a lot of Grandview defensive players out of Van Meter. So for the Ravens, that's a tough penalty to swallow. A 15-yard penalty is going to move it all the way across midfield into the Raven territory at the 45 with 7:45 left here in the first half.
First and 10. Jackson Waring up under the center is going to hand off. No, play action. Straight back to throw. Lots of time. Now throws one. Over the middle. Undefended. At the 30-yard line. Down at Raven. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25. Dragging three defenders along with him. It's another first down. And again, guys, Isaiah Tokey. He has been a tough handle for the Ravens today.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I liked him last year. I like him again this year. He's just a gritty type receiver out there for Grandview. And that time going across the middle, made a nice catch and moves the ball down inside the 30 to the 26-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for Grandview. Tokey's going to come out and take a breather on this first and 10 call.
Jordan Crum is going to be winding to the near side. They'll fill a slot to the right side. Receiver to the left. They've been running the ball quite a bit. Quarterback is under center. Will make that handoff. Starting left, cutting right, hit in the middle of the line. Abram Phillips, the first guy. But again, several Ravens have to come in to stop the running back after a gain of three. And Peyton Joby will give him credit for the play for the Ravens. 6:40 to go in the half. Vikings with the football, leading 7-0. And because both of or their first score and right now they're about in scoring position again, have been brought on by Raven turnovers.
Yeah, the interception, a fumble, and a missed field goal are the three possessions for Benedictine today.
Second down, 7 from the 24-yard line. Grandview in Raven territory. QB will hand off the wrap around into the left side of the line. Van Pelt stood up at the first guy and driven down by Cole Johnson. There will be minimal gain on that play. Abram Phillips also on that tackle. And now Zach Lacombe says, I need to get a minute of breath. And he's going to take himself out of the game and going to be replaced by Isaac Lopez. Isaac's out of Jeff City, Missouri. We had a shout-out to Jeff City a little bit ago. Isaac, 5'8", 210-pound senior. Third down, 8. It's a big call for the Raven defense right here.
Yeah, Isaac Lopez is going to line up on the slot receiver to the left side. Expect Waring to throw that way.
And now we're going to get a grand
timeout. Timeout.
Taking a break. Timeout of the field at 5.5 to go in the half. Vikings 7, Ravens nothing.
Craving something fresh? Head to Subway in Atchison. From the classic subs you love to fresh salads, wraps, and breakfast options, there's something for everyone. And don't forget to treat yourself with a foot-long churro or soft pretzel, perfect for a snack or with your meal. Subway, eat fresh. Conveniently located under the Fifth Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Huddle up around the respective coaching staffs. Benedictine on the far side. Gustin, what you noted at the onset of the ballgame is my very favorite color combination for Benedictine with a white jersey, red pants. White jerseys, red pants, red lettering and trim with the black helmet. And for Grandview, it is their home red with white helmets, white letters, white pants.
Talk about this jersey combination. Do you like it with the black helmet, or would you prefer with the old white helmet?
I would prefer it with the white helmet.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Just throwing that one out there.
Being you asked, I'll just tell you. Third down, 7. Let's see what they've cooked up. Quarterback has something in mind, and he's got a wide-open man at the 15, at the 10, his first and goal Vikings. They went out. There was no hesitation. Jackson Murray took the snap, looked at who he wanted. It was Itoki and Isaac Lopez. That's who they wanted to pick on. They picked on him all day, and they pick on him again for a first and goal.
Yeah, he came in right before that timeout, and they took the timeout and said, hey, let's still sling it out there and see if we can make something happen. It's going to be first and goal for Grandview, the ball at the 7-yard line.
Grandview is going to have Tokey in a slot left and wide to the left with Tristan Williams, a 6'5 receiver out of Houston.
and everybody is pretty much in tight. QB will hand up to the tailback, goes to the 5 and the 4, rides the wave down to maybe the 3-yard line. And when you ride the wave, here's what you're riding. You are riding that front group, and in the front of that was Christian Stoller, the guy who got banged up a little bit ago at 6'3", 330. Right tackle, 6'5", 275, 6'1", 285 in the middle. And on the left side, you go 6'3", 270 and 6'8", 300. All great teams have great offensive lines.
Yeah, and they're just a big offensive line. Now into the ballgame, they're going to bring Lance Klaberg, another tight end, 6'3", 235 out of Coon Rapids, Iowa.
A lot of Iowa kids on his team. Second to go with the 5. Motion left, pitch to the tailback, sweeps to the left, cuts it into the middle, goes into the end zone, touchdown Grandview. Just that easy. You get the motion man out there, get the momentum going that way, get that running back in behind him and just ride it all the way in. And at 3:57 to go in the opening half, Grandview on the verge of doubling its lead, leading up now 13-0 with a PAT coming up. Corey Wood to kick. And it will be Braden Corey to hold. He is 1 of 1 today. Last year, he was 44 of 46. It is on its way and perfect. Time out of the field in Des Moines with 3:57 to go in the opening half. It is all Vikings. It is Grandview, 14, Benedictine, nothing.
Whether you're hosting friends, enjoying a cozy evening at home, or celebrating life's little moments, Hundley Liquor has everything you need to elevate the occasion. Choose from a wide selection of domestic and imported beers, fine wines, and premium spirits to make any gathering special. Hundley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hundley Liquor.
Putting their kick return unit on the field as we return here to Mediacom Stadium on a campus of Drake University. Ravens try to get out 14-0, inside 4 minutes to go in the half. Gus, is it imperative for the Ravens to score before halftime, or just kind of important?
Nope. You have to score before halftime.
Okay.
And you settle for 3.
Yeah, no, I'll take 3 because you're going to also get the ball to start the second half, right? You won the toss, you deferred to the second half, so I am okay with field goal, but I just need some points out of this drive.
So here we go. A little offset. Is there 4 on one side and 6 on the other of the kicker, and it's a low line drive bouncing at the 20, 15, 10, 5, but JoJo wants no part of return of that ball. Let's just get past him and into the end zone, and the Ravens will be 1st and 10 at the 25-yard line. Now, some kickers just, and Coach and I talked about this a little bit, you learn where to kick it, you put that height on the ball and kick it into the dead zones. That one was just one that never got 10 feet off the ground. It kind of skipped its way downfield. That was not a design kick like that, I don't feel like.
What do you call that, a worm burner?
Yeah, it's a worm burner, absolutely. So for the Ravens, they need to get a little pep in their step and come out here looking for some points before the opening half comes to an end. And Jackson Dooley. We got a couple
There's
of
Jackson lot of
quarterbacks
today.
And here's the handoff. Slow walking into the middle. Ugorji. Oh, he gets some room. 25, 30, 5, 40. Ooh. Ugorji, 5. Nice job, Ugorji. And he gets thrown down out of play. Is there a marker? All the way out into the Grandview Medical Tent is where Ugorji ends up this play. No one drops the flag.
When Ugorji cut back across the field, he picked up a really nice block from quarterback Jackson Dooley, and that helped him skate that thing out to the 46-yard line.
So a 21-yard run for Xavier. And it's 1st and 10, Benedictine, at their own 46. 3:20 to go in the half. Ravens again pause, look over to the sideline. Lots of time on the play clock. Jackson will hand off again, Ugorji. He will dance into the middle and get to the 48 and 9, picking up about 5, or make it 4 on that first down carry. How about Isaac Cook in the middle? Big guy out of Raymore, Missouri for Grandview.
Great pick, kid.
I'm thinking that's 6'1", 265. He looks a little taller than that to me, I don't know. Oh, 2:48 to go, and we're rolling along toward halftime.
Raven's going to be in the backfield with the new running back at this moment, J.J. Jackson, 5'9", sophomore at Chula Vista.
Jackson will get this handoff. He'll be hit from behind, and he'll cross midfield, but be 5 yards, 4 or 5 yards short of the first down is the defensive end, Casey Trudeau. We'll get him to the ground. Ravens in Viking territory. 2:20 left in the half. Benedictine, third and we'll make a third down 5 here.
You want to guess where Trudeau's from?
Yeah, you know.
Van Meter.
Sure he is.
Right. Like, I mean, you look. Van Meter. I mean, like, all these guys, high school kids.
Here comes the Raven offense. Dooley's back, and he's going to boot at the 45. Dies for the first down. Moves the Raven chains first and 10 Benedictine. Because I think that was drawn up.
Levi Manson comes over and makes the headlong dive after Jackson picks up the first down, and we are getting the 2-minute break.
We're doing it. Taking a break here in Des Moines. 1:57 to go, opening half of the biggest game in the nation this afternoon. It's number 1, Grandview, 14, number 4, Benedictine, nothing.
Amberwell Pharmacy now offers free prescription delivery available to those living within the city limits of Atchison, Hiawatha, Effingham, Lancaster, Everest, Horton, Highland, and Troy. It's the perfect option if you have limited mobility or find it difficult to pick up your prescriptions. Learn more about Amberwell Pharmacy and our free delivery services by calling 913-367-1654 in Atchison or 785-742-6190 in Hiawatha or visit our website at amberwellhealth.org.
We're today's hit country from KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison.
It's the only radio station we agree on.
We love the music.
Today's hit country, Hot Country, 93.7.
With 1:57 to go in the opening half. This Raven football game here on Care Radio. Glad to have you along this afternoon. Mediacom Stadium in the heart of Des Moines. All right, so for the Ravens, this is a good one. A good opportunity to get something on the board. Need some points before halftime.
There he is.
Is he out there? Okay. Trips right side. And another handoff, drafting outside. Yagorzi slows down, gets to the middle, 40, 35. Xavier has a lineman grabbing him and pulling him downfield. He's all the way to the 30. Guys, I love it when the defensive tackle who's leading the block then turns around and bear hugs the running back and pulls him up the field with him. First and 10, Benedictine.
Raven running back coach Zion Mathis. He says, yeah, that's how we're supposed to run. Like, yeah. Let the big guys grab you, and they'll pull you forward.
It's teamwork, baby. Here we go. First down, Benedictine. Dooley looks left, goes left, wide open, caught at the 20-yard line, and falling out of bounds, a gain of 6. Titan Osborne. And, guys, the reason he caught it, fell out of bounds, it was kind of out of his reach, and he was lunging to make the catch and ultimately did a great job getting the feet down before he went out of play.
Yep. Catch would have been good on Sundays, right?
Yeah.
2 feet down.
Absolutely nice.
Falls out of bounds with 1:22 left and stops the clock.
And the Ravens, 2nd and 1.
Now, the Ravens have been down here twice today already, yeah, and haven't come away with points. 3 times with missed field goal.
Jackson, wraparound handoff again. Yagorzi hurdles, gets across the line of scrimmage. Markers everywhere in that. Where they're going in the middle, that's not good for Benedictine.
Got a big offensive lineman pointed at the flag and then pointed at himself. And he said, is that for me?
Is that mine? Did I do that? That gave me hope. Maybe they get the field mics working in the second half. I don't know.
Holding. Yeah, so holding against Benedictine.
So for the Ravens, penalties have been a little problem too today, don't you feel like? I mean, where are we at now? Is this their 5th penalty of the afternoon? And I don't think any coach is happy with double-digit penalties in the course of a day, and that's the kind of pace that we're on right here. So this is going to get marked back to just outside the 31-yard line. We'll make it a 2nd down and 10. 2nd down and a long 10. Back to throw, Dooley rolling right on the 2nd down call. Goes in, gets it inside the 30, but it's a very short gain over here to Tanner Zimmerman, who does a nice job of catching the ball and as he had to turn to catch it, backpedals out of bounds. That's going to stop the clock with a minute 9 to go in the half, but leave a third down in about 7. So short game, couple 3 yards on that catch.
Raymond's going to leave their running back in the ballgame, J.J. Jackson. J.J. out there, a 5'9" sophomore. We talked about out of Chula Vista. He'll be the protector on the left side.
Titan Osborne, LeBron Jackson, Zimmerman to the left side. Quarterback's going to throw to the right, nearly picked off, and looking for Longapuy on it, and he makes a catch. He caught that thing at the grass tops, and they're going to say it was legitimate. Cascini, the defender, I didn't think he caught it. It's first down, I think, at the 20. Are they moving the chains? They are.
From here, it looked like he skipped that ball in there.
Clock and now kept running. They took a lot of time off that clock, and now I think they're going to challenge this.
First time out of the half, and I think Grandview's going to say, hey, let's take a look at
yeah.
it, but I don't know. From our vantage point, I thought he skipped it in there.
I did, too. I thought it was kind of short, but the official was very well placed on that play. I mean, he was had a good angle, and he was in a very close proximity to have made what you would think was a very accurate kind of a call. So he was certainly where he needed to have
okay,
been.
Okay, so the officials are going to walk over and take a quick look at it.
You talked to the guys over there before the game.
Yeah. I think
guys.
I even made the comment of, hopefully don't need you guys today.
Yeah, and they agreed with that.
We've needed a handful of these replays so far in this early season.
Halftime here, coming up on Care Radio, is going to bring a conversation with the new tight ends coach for Benedictine, Sean Schnabel, who's had a lot of coaching experience. He's got some interesting travels, and we will talk to him about that. And I learned, along with things about coaching stuff, I learned about something, Gus, I did not know was even a thing, 9-man football.
I still think it's made up.
Well, we're going to hear about it. I asked him to explain how does this work, because I had heard of 11, of course, and 8, and in Western Kansas there's some 6, but I was unfamiliar with 9-man football.
In Fayette, they're about ready. We're actually should be about 2 minutes in. William Penn is at Central Methodist today. It's 3 o'clock window. He's 2 games. So you're going to have William Woods just down the road at Graceland. Clark will be at Missouri Valley for a 3 o'clock game. The 6 o'clock slate will see Culver Stockton at Mid-America. Baker at Peru State for a 6 o'clock kickoff. And then the final game of the night, 7 o'clock from St. Louis, is St. Ambrose at Missouri Baptist.
So on the way home, are we stopping at the Lamanna game or at the Peru game? Which one are we going to head for on the way back? Because we're driving fairly close to either one, right through Lamanna.
A little disappointed that, you know, there was a time where you'd say, we're catching both games, right?
We could.
Because you can get Lamanna. Can I tell you, that game in Lamanna with William Woods, that game's over and it hasn't even started.
It was over when they put it on the schedule. Fishes are still in the. They got a really nice hut. It looks like you ag guys, you would understand this. It looks like a calf creep feeder, kind of down on the north end of the field with a little like a tarp running up over the back. And speaking of our ag friends, we want to welcome all of you, because I know it's for some guys it's a little early, but I also know for a lot of you guys you're out of that combine and you know corn is coming out of the field and you may be sitting in the grain line somewhere. Love that you guys spend your afternoons with us. We're happy to share a little time with you and maybe bring you a little entertainment while you're doing your work here on a beautiful fall Saturday afternoon. This is coming out on the field, and Gus, we won't hear him, but we'll see if we can figure out what he's got to say here. The ball hit the ground. I heard that. Well, that's a tough break for the Ravens. Good outcome for Grandview. So 52 seconds to go in the half. That's coming back.
Yeah, so it can't be 52, right, because they let it continue. So an incomplete pass would have stopped the clock with a lot more time than that. I'm a little surprised Benedictine's not a little upset about the time.
You would think that somebody is going to be alert enough to.
Right, because that thing then should be closer to a minute.
I'd say 5 more seconds anyway. Yeah.
So now the Ravens are looking at it's not fourth down, is it?
No.
Third?
Yes. That should be third down. The stick says fourth. And now they're calling it fourth? Was that third down? Okay, they're calling it fourth. They're not giving them any time back. And now the Ravens are going to be looking at a fourth and seven, apparently, at the 28-yard line. This is going to be a big call, and Benedict are not going to try to kick a field goal again this time. The pass is going to be caught at the 20, breaking a tackle. It's a first down for Benedict. They're going to catch by LeBron.
LeBron did exactly what you liked. 7 yards is the needed yards, so we run a 9-yard route, and we don't come back to the football. Catch it, turn, and get back down the field. Good job right there by Jackson.
Ravens moving the football, pass over to the left side, and it is going to be out of reach of Titan Osborne. So Titan reaches up with one hand, probably just as well, that you know, gets away, stops the clock. 41 seconds left. That is plenty of time as the Ravens have two timeouts remaining, as does Grandview. 41 seconds left in the half, 14-0. Vikings in front. And Benedictine, even though they've struggled kicking the ball a little bit here today, because, you know what, they probably are in field goal range. But we'll be kicking it at what is now a very stiff wind.
I was going to say, you can count all 50 on that flag.
That wind is hard. Here's the pass, left side, into the back of the end zone. Pass interference, back there, you got it. There comes the flag in. And I'm going to tell you that Kenai James just mugged Joseph back in the back of that end zone. It was either mug him or give up the touchdown.
Yeah, and he's walking around and throwing his hands up and can't understand how that was called. And coach, you look over here, E.J. Peterson says, come over here. I'll tell you how that was called.
Let me explain this, young man.
He's not even going to see this next play. He's like walking way away from all of his teammates. He's really upset about this.
And I'm not sure. He has got a little pulled muscle in that left leg. He's kind of working it like it's a little bit tweaked.
Because the penalty occurred in the end zone, the ball will be placed at the 2-yard line. It'll be first and goal for the Ravens with 37 seconds. Ugorji will be your back.
Trips to the left side, the wide side of the field. Joseph wide to the right side. The officials are going to stop play, step up over to Foot Mullen. Now, we're going to have the officials getting together in the Benedictine backfield. And I like the fact that Jackson goes back there and gets into the huddle with them.
Iowa officials.
Yeah, don't even start. So we'll see what they decide this is going to be all about. And apparently it's much ado of nothing as everybody's going to retreat back to their original positions and nothing has happened. 37 seconds ago in the half, Ravens. First and goal, 2 yards away. Ugorji is at a backfield. Witherspoon out with an apparent injury. Ugorji rides away, leans, pushes, he's short. Inside the 1 yard line, it'll pick up a second and goal, 29, 28, 27, lots of time. Winding down toward halftime, they'll stop the clock at 25, and the Ravens taking a timeout, we'll keep it here. Joseph will hang on to it with 25 seconds before halftime.
The coach going to utilize that timeout right there. Benedictine with still one timeout remaining. Grandview has two. I think coach is just going to make sure everybody's on the same page. I'm a little surprised he didn't just go ahead and line him back up and run the same play again, right? You're sitting here now second and goal from inside the one. You also got to think maybe even seeing a jumbo package with like Swizlowski or somebody coming into the ballgame.
Now, again, while we're play calling here and what we say means nothing, and you got to understand that Jackson Dooley is a capable ball carrier and has run the ball a little bit more. I have no issue with him just getting behind that offensive line from a yard out and trying to ride that in. Because even if you don't get there, you still got a timeout left. So you still got the time to.
Isn't that what happened last week? Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And now
I run that same play.
Also, are you telling me that you unhooked us from Joel's headset? Because I thought we were speaking directly to the sideline.
Well, I would like to telegraph that over to him. Let Jackson run.
We're going to see Joel Greiner along with Isaac Cook along that front line for Grandview.
They're bringing in some big horses into the center. Now the Ravens back away. The official standing up over the top of the football, and I'm not sure what the holdup here is. It's just inside the one.
It's we're from Iowa, so let's be a little less efficient and take our time.
Ravens huddling up back in the 10, and here they come, running out over it. Quarterback is up under center. They're going with the diamond. They'll push, they'll shove, they'll lean. Jackson reaches for the end zone, and the officials are going to run up and say no. They're not giving it to him yet. Grimview says he's not in. The officials refuse to give him the touchdown. Clock at 14, 13, 12. Winding to a halftime timeout, Ravens.
Joel's halfway out on the field trying to get, because everybody's over the football, and he's back here screaming,
give me that third timeout.
How can you see whether that was in the end zone or not when you are an official on the hash mark on either side and you've got all those big guys and your quarterback is in
look,
the middle
look,
of that?
Jackson's standing over saying, I don't see any room between here.
There is no way that they were able to determine that that ball was short of the end zone. And so for the Ravens, here's the problem, guys. If you run it here, you'll not have time for a field goal. If you run it, you got to get it in. And if you throw it and catch it, you got to get it in.
Touch him.
Yeah. Yeah, from where we're standing, the ball looks halfway across. We've got 7 of the 8 officials standing over the football looking at it. Only one is back about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So if you're the defense, you pack it up in the middle and then somebody boots outside. I mean, how do you handle this?
You do the same play again.
Do you?
Yeah.
You say, I picked up, if I needed a yard, I picked up 35 inches last time. I can only need one right here.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. It's clinch time as we come up to the line of scrimmage.
Look at that ball.
That's incredible.
I think you need, wasn't there an official with a note card and had to put it like, you cannot get any closer to the goal line than that.
So here we come. Ravens up over it. They'll go 3 wide. Ugorji. Touchdown, Ravens. The Ravens, Gus, went the old T formation. Came into the left halfback. He follows the right halfback, fullback, quarterback around the right side and goes in. And with 9 seconds. Last week it was with 12. Today with 9 seconds to go in the half, the Ravens are on the board.
So instead of just piling between the center and the guard, they pushed it out between the guard and the center, and Ugorji dives in.
Looking for the PAT, Christian Kloby. He had a little problem with the field goal a little bit ago, but this point after is airborne and right through there. We're taking a break. 9 seconds to go in the half. The Ravens are on the board. It is Grandview, 14, Benedictine 7.
Ready to look and feel your best? Snap Fitness in Atchison is more than just a 24-hour gym. With 3 tanning beds, you can get that perfect glow. Appointments are available Monday through Thursday from 10 to 1 and 2 to 6, and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 12. Stop by Snap Fitness at 409 Commercial or call 913-367-1511 to book your tanning session today. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness.
One right down the middle of the field, and, you know, maybe just try to pop one somewhere around the 25.
Yeah, the Ravens got to kick this away with 9 seconds to go. Vikings lead cut in half. It's now 14-7. And, yeah, you just want to burn a little bit of time and get this thing away, not allow any kind of a big return. Grandy does not expect a deep kick, and that's exactly what they're going to get. The pooch kick to the 17 where the fair catch is called for and executed, and no time elapses. So for Grandview, who has a couple of timeouts of their own, if they wanted to, guys, they could run a couple of plays or not, or fall on it right here, just go to the locker room with a lead, which is what I would think is a good call.
Yeah, I think today you're okay with going to the locker room with a lead. And for Benedictine, how big, we talked about it going into that last possession that you had to come away with at some points, but man, a touchdown, that was huge right there.
Here comes Jackson Waring, and if they're going to go to the diamond, they're going to be very, very deep behind Waring, and I'm not even sure who that guy is way back there, 10 yards deep, and they're just going to cover this thing up. That is going to be Chase Regalier we've seen out there a time or two, and he's 10 yards behind the quarterback. And now they're going to move it up to the 25-yard line. They say, no, that's
because of the fair catch.
It's at the 25. This crew has struggled in a very Iowa way. And there it is, and that is the end of the opening half. We'll be back here in Des Moines to summarize the half for you. These teams are headed for the locker room. At halftime, it is Grandview 14, Benedictine 7.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner.
With their signature stack burgers, chicken sandwiches, and chicken strip baskets, there's something for everyone. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot foot sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
Looking for the ultimate night out? Head to High Voltage Bar and Dance, where the fun never stops. Open late every day of the week. Sundays, join them at 1:30 for bingo. Tuesday nights, get your boots on for free line dance lessons. And don't miss our weekend lineup. Fridays and Saturdays, it's karaoke, a DJ, or a live band bringing the house down. For all the latest updates, check out the High Voltage Facebook page. High Voltage Bar and Dance, 7-Eleven Commercial in Atchison, where every night is a good time.
Hey, Des Moines, Iowa. The Ravens score late in the first half. Gus, go into the locker room, down a touchdown. You go to the second half, they're just fine.
Yeah, right now the Ravens hold the advantage in total yards. They scored a touchdown to go into the half, and they're going to get the ball to start the second half. Right now, one of the few things they're not leading is in the scorebook, trailing 14-7.
Yep, a couple of turnovers made the difference in the game, and we'll be back. Second half's going to be great. We'll return with that. But right now, with the intermission score, Vikings 14, Ravens 7. We kick it back. It's halftime.
It's time for the Taco Johns of Atchison Raven Halftime Show on your home for BC football. Air 93.7. Taco Johns, bigger, bolder, better. The halftime show begins right after these messages.
Taco? Burger? Why not both? Try Taco John's one-of-a-kind taco burger with 100% North American beef, zesty mild sauce, lettuce, and cheddar cheese on a warm bun. Taco Burgers, only available at Taco John's. Come try a taco burger today. At Taco John's, we believe a better Taco Tuesday starts with better tacos. So that's what we make. And how do you make a better taco even better? Making it $1.39 on Tuesdays couldn't hurt. Better tacos are just $1.39. Every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's.
We're talking today to Sean Schnabel. He's one of the new coaches in the Benedictine coaching room. And Coach, it's good to have you along, man. How's it going?
It's going great, Tom. We had had a great day of practice earlier today and good preparation and just excited for the next week and what lies ahead this season.
Coach, let's just kind of start at the start. Give me the little Sean Schnabel biography. Where are you from? And tell me a little bit about home.
Yeah, so I'm originally from a small town in southeastern South Dakota. I grew up on a farm near Parkston. So I graduated high school with 45 classmates. So a small rural community, was involved in a lot of activities, athletics, and loved sports, loved football. You know, had the opportunity to continue to play after high school. I played at University of Sioux Falls and was fortunate to be part of a very successful program there and have a great experience and earn a degree in biology and teaching education. So from there, I got into high school teaching and coaching in Pierce, South Dakota. I spent 3 years primarily coaching freshman football and then teaching science at the high school there and enjoyed that experience and still have a lot of great friends in that area. And that's actually also where I met my wife, Whitney. She's from the Fort Pierre area of South Dakota. So enjoyed, you know, my time there. And then after that, had an opportunity to join the coaching staff as a graduate assistant at Black Hills State University out in Spearfish, South Dakota. And was there as a graduate assistant and then kind of gradually was able to earn more responsibility in terms of being been a part-time coach and eventually a full-time coach and had a good time there, you know, enjoyed our time in the Black Hills and at Black Hills State. So was there for 7 seasons and then after a head coaching change, had an opportunity to leave the state of South Dakota for the first time and actually ended up joining the coaching staff at Missouri Baptist University. So they're obviously now a conference opponent here in the heart of America South. But at the time when I was there from 2020 through the summer of 2023, we were actually in a different conference. So We never played Benedictine during my time at MoBat, but spent three seasons there, and starting through COVID, so that was an adventure. But I had a great experience there as well, and then had an opportunity to join the coaching staff at Arkansas Tech University in Russellville, Arkansas, and was there for 2 years. Two seasons, actually, not quite two calendar years, but two seasons. And then after the fall of 24, due to a head coaching change there, was looking for another opportunity and couldn't be happier, about getting an opportunity to coach here at Benedictine, be part of a tremendous football program, a tremendous college, definitely football is a priority here, and excited to be a part of such a great community Atchison has been great, and looking forward to what's ahead.
We've got Coach Sean Schnabel with us. He's one of the new members of the Benedictine coaching staff. And Coach, you say that you grew up in southeast South Dakota, obviously with a class that size, pretty rural. So when you're a kid growing up there, who are you a fan of? I mean, are you a USD fan, and then are you a Bears fan or a Vikings fan? Who do you pull for?
Yeah. So in terms of college, I had a lot of family members attend South Dakota State University, the Jackrabbits, and here recently they've had a ton of success, at the FCS level in football and a lot of other sports. When I was growing up, they were actually still Division II school. So I remember, listening to their games on the radio and being a fan of the Jacks. But other than that, my NFL team growing up was not a regional team. I was actually a 49ers fan. So I'm still a casual fan, follow them, but I'm definitely not a diehard. And I didn't ever really have, a college team that I followed super closely. When I was young, the Huskers, Nebraska, they were kind of in their run there in the mid late 90s. So they were on television a lot and certainly received a lot of attention. So probably most familiar with them, but again, not a diehard Husker fan necessarily by any means.
Was your high school team good? I mean, were you guys like winning some games?
Yeah, we did. I was fortunate to be a part of some good teams. When I was a sophomore, we played in the state championship game for our class. It was the smallest class of 11-man football. South Dakota has a couple 9-man classes and then several 11-man. So we played in the state championship game my sophomore year and came up short. And then we were around 500 as a junior. And then my senior year, we had a decent season and won a couple playoff games my final season, too.
Okay. Smallest 11-man class I get. 9-man football, did I hear that right?
Oh, yes, that is correct.
See, down here it's 8-man football. In Western Kansas, there's a few 6-man. So what's 9? What is it like?
Yeah, basically you remove two offensive linemen and everything else remains the same. All of the same rules for who's eligible and who isn't, in terms of eligible receivers to catch the ball and carry the ball and everything. So that pretty much remains the same. It's just you just subtract two old linemen from the team, and that's about it.
Wow. Okay, so you had a really good high school team. Obviously, you are on very good college teams, and obviously you have a very strong family background. So in all of the people that you've been around, and obviously quality people, did you have like a mentor? Did you have a guy who you looked at and you said, man, yeah, this I like what this guy's saying, and you just kind of followed in the footsteps, or maybe somebody who kind of led you to where you're at today?
Yeah, I can't point specifically to one person. I know everywhere, I've had either the opportunity to play or coach, there's been a lot of good people. They've been a part of college teams, high school teams where we've had success and part of some where there weren't a lot of wins some seasons, but always been very fortunate everywhere I've been to be surrounded by a lot of good people. So more than I think I can't say I just have one, specific mentor, but I've learned a lot from a lot of different people really at every stop. So It's been a little bit more of you know, taking bits and pieces and learning things, good things, you know, learning from success, learning from failure, learning how to do things, sometimes, you know, learning from experience how not to do things. So I'd say that's probably been a little bit more of my personal experience on my coaching journey. But I have had a lot of good coaches that I've been fortunate to be around. You know, I was very fortunate to play when I played at Sioux Falls. Our head coach was Kalen DeBoer, and my offensive line coach during those days was Ryan Grubb, and on that team, the defensive coordinator and coach who actually recruited me out of high school, Chuck Morrell, were all at University of Sioux Falls at that time, and now are all at Alabama. So, you know, we knew we had good coaching at the time, you know, just probably weren't quite aware of really how good it was. So definitely learned a lot during that time. In Pierre, you know, my experience coaching there, coaching freshmen, you know, was a real learning curve, right? Having to coach, you know, players who didn't know anything about football, right? So that really taught me a lot and learned some good things from a couple different head coaches during the time when I was there. And when I was at Black Hills State, John Reiners was the head coach there. Really great person, great family man, good coach. Really, you know, I think we really did things the right way had some challenges, you know, to overcome there that made things tough to be consistent with winning a lot of games. But we went about the work the right way and treated people the right way, you know. So I learned a lot from him at Missouri Baptist, head coach there, Jason Burienek, a great person, great coach. You know, he's done a great job literally starting the program there from nothing, you know, and they've been continuously, you know, getting better and better each year. So it was fun to be a part of that, you know, helping a program build up from nothing. And even though, I joined a few years after they had started and had a few seasons under their belt, you know, and down at Arkansas Tech, head coach Kyle Shipp there was another great family man and a good person and was able to, you know, learn some things during my time there from him and others as well.
Sean Schnabel's with us, Benedictine football coach. And coach, you kind of lead me right, and I appreciate the segue here. You lead me kind of into my next topic for you. You talk about some great family men that you have been around and that you have had in coaching staffs with you. Last week, we talked to Trevor Strong, and I'm going to, like I did last week, I'm going to pull a curtain back a little bit and let people know we're recording this, you know, fairly late in the evening, because you have to get the kiddos, you know, all tucked in and call it a night. And I've got to tell you, I admire that, because there is nothing more important than the family, and you know, you put them in their proper perspective. More important to take care of them than to talk to me, and I admire that. That's important stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's you know, certainly important to me to be able to coach at a place where, you know, there's some balance between, you know, the work that's required to be successful, you know, on the football field, and also, you know, having a life and being able to spend some time with family. So, you know, that's one thing, you know, I certainly appreciate about the small college football, you know, NAIA, Division III, Division II football, is I believe you can have that balance. But also at the same time, you know, work hard, do things the right way, and also, you know, help put a, you know, really competitive football product on the field too, and also be, you know, part of your players' lives, you know, not just as their coach and as football players, but try to be a mentor for them as well, and help them develop as young men off the field too.
And before we start talking about real football stuff, one more huge, you know, kudos to you. Bounced around a little bit, you've had some jobs, you've moved a little bit, and I mean, without the right partner, who's going to be down with that? None of that happens. And so Mrs. Coach Schnabel, you know, has got to be a real asset and a great benefit in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've got an awesome wife, you know, and anybody who coaches, you know, it takes a toll, you know, and it takes a special person to be a coach's wife. And I've really been blessed, you know, and fortunate to have a wife who kind of understands that and is on board, you know, with bouncing around a little bit and being through some moves. It definitely hasn't been easy, you know, and it hasn't always been necessarily what we would have liked to do, but she's been great, and we've always kind of looked at coaching and you know, having new opportunities, you know, that arise as that kind of being a new adventure. So it's been great to have, yeah, my wife Whitney and her tremendous support.
Okay, so let's talk about the adventure in Atchison. You mentioned, you know, getting here, but how in the world does that happen? Were you thinking, you know, were you kind of putting out feelers saying, you know, I'm kind of looking for a little bit of something? Did coach bump you, or did you have a common friend? How did you find out about a position in Atchison, Kansas?
Yeah, so I actually saw online that they were looking for a full-time coach on the offensive side of the ball, and was really just looking for a college opportunity to continue coaching. So I had heard of Benedictine football program before, obviously just with the history and tradition of excellence and success, you know, knew that it was a really, really good football program. And although I'd never met Coach Osborne, had heard of him and actually have had you know, a couple coaches that I've either known or worked with previously, who knew Coach Osborne or worked with him during his time at Northwest Missouri. So there was a little bit of a connection there. So, you know, after reaching out and kind of, you know, communicating through some of those connections, was able to have a talk with Coach Osborne, and one thing led to another, and came up for an interview. And, you know, it really just reinforced kind of all the excitement I had about the college, the football program, the support, the direction that the team was heading, you know, and was very fortunate then to be offered a position and knew this is where I wanted to be.
Is this program a lot like or a lot different than some of the programs you've been with before?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of similarities, a couple differences. I think every place is unique. You know, all my stops, coaching-wise at the college level, have been either at the NAIA level or NCAA Division II. So similar-sized schools. Benedictine is probably kind of in the middle size-wise, at least of the school enrollment where I've coached. You know, it's got tremendous support here in Atchison and at the college, which is awesome. One thing that is a little different, you know, we've got a large roster, you know, close to 200 players on our roster, which is great. So that most of the schools that I've coached at don't have quite that size, but it's great to have a lot of players to coach and develop and, you know, help, you know, become better football players and become better men as well.
You're coaching tight ends for Benedictine this year. Was that your position when you played, like in high school or college, or is this just a position that you have stepped into?
No, it was not. I've been pretty much, you know, a line coach. You know, my experience playing was offensive line and defensive line, and then at the high school level, coached both offensive line and defensive lines there. But in college, you know, in terms of my position, it's pretty much been all offensive line. So at Missouri Baptist, I spent a couple seasons as the offensive coordinator, so kind of obviously oversaw everything then on the offensive side of the ball, and I learned a lot in that role, and you know, have learned things about you know, the skill positions and you know, just overall offensive execution and how to put together an offense and all those types of things. So it's kind of been a pretty natural progression, or pretty easy, you know, to shift from coaching the offensive line to tight ends. Here at Benedictine, I mean, we use our tight ends in a variety of ways. You know, they're very dynamic players for us. We ask them to do a ton of things. There's a lot on their plate in terms of learning and assignments. So a lot on their plate mentally, but then a lot on their plate physically as well. So, you know, the blocking that we, you know, ask our tight ends to do, we'll have them block in the run game. We'll have them block and pass protection. So a lot of that stuff, the technique and the coaching of that is very similar to the offensive line. So, you know, a big chunk of their jobs, you know, I've had a lot of experience coaching already. And then, you know, the route running perspective, you know, we'll incorporate our tight ends as much as we can, you know, in getting downfield and in the passing game. So, you know, I've been able to learn more of that over the years, have learned a ton just in my short time here at Benedictine from Coach Osborne, who obviously has a lot of experience, you know, on the offensive side of the ball with skill positions. And also, you know, I've learned a lot from our wide receivers coach, Coach Hauser, has really helped a lot in some of the details and some of the technique, you know, of route running and drill work and things to just help our tight ends, you know, be really dynamic receivers too.
Thanks for listening.
Set to go to the second half. And the Benedictine Ravens and the Vikings of Grandview. Number one in the nation, number four in the nation, and a game that has been worthy of the two. It's a 14-7 Viking lead going to the second half. Welcome back, everybody. Joseph in the studio. Well done, Joseph. Thanks for taking care of us so well at halftime. Appreciate you, man. Gus Counts sitting here in the booth. Tom Counts in. The Ravens won the flip of the coin at the onset of the ball game, but elected to defer to the second half. And that means it'll be Grandview kicking it away. And the Ravens, who scored in the last 10 seconds of the half, going to have the first possession of the third quarter. The kick is low. Line drive, and it's going to roll and roll and go out of bounds at the 15-yard line, and his penalty marker sailed. Benedictine is going to have good field position. First and 10 to begin the second half. You look at those first half statistics. Benedictine, you're looking at those and going, wow, you know, we've got way more total yards, more passing yards and more rushing yards, more first downs. 6 of 10 on third down, 1 of 1 on fourth down. They've run 40 plays. They've run 11 more plays than Grandview. I mean, all of the numbers are so good for Benedictine, the exception, the two turnovers that directly led to the two Grandview touchdowns. Those are the difference in the game. And the Ravens have a first and 10. Going to be a little straight ahead run. Ugorji looking for a seam. He's not going to find it. Kind of works his way forward for a couple of yards into the right side of the line. Give him the 37-yard line. It'll bring up a first, or rather a second and 8. Ravens with the ball just underway in the second half. Welcome back to Des Moines, Iowa here at MediaCom Stadium in the campus of Drake University. Benedictine with Ugorji in the backfield as Dalton Witherspoon has not been back in since it looked like maybe banging up his shoulder a little bit in the first half. Quarterback is going to pitch. Ugorji slashes to the left side, gets to the 40, slows down, and accelerates to the 43. And it's going to bring up a third and 2. And that time, Xavier just used his speed, okay? He was in motion to the outside. Dueling pitches it out to him on the run, and he gets to the edge, turns it upfield, and gets what he can, making it a third down 2. Ravens are going to keep that first drive of the second half alive. Hand off to Ugorji. He's not going to get there. I don't think he's going to fall forward and get really close. The Ravens think he's gotten it, and if it's on the near side, nope, you're half yard short. So for the Ravens, kind of a surprising call. I feel that they just like kind of pitched into the middle on a very slowly developing play into the right side of the line. And for Benedictine, is it going to be gamble time?
It is. They're going to bring in Ace Wislofsky for this. Fourth and 1.
Yeah, and it's even a pretty doggone short one, just shy of the 45-yard line. We're a minute and a half into the second half of the Ravens, feeling like they can pick up this yard.
You have to hurry up. You're down to 6 on the play call.
QB will turn, hand off, running into the middle, getting the first down across the 45-yard line. It goes, you know when you need yards, you know what formation you go with? The I.
Yeah, you go with the big I formation right there, and your fullback on that play with Tyler Watson just dives forward. Ravens pick up a first down.
First and 10, Benedictine. A little roll of the dice. That shows when you got a lot of faith. And now Eddie's coming back into the ball game, picking up Jacoby Hinton for Benedictine. Eddie Swazlowski, 6'5", 365, offensive lineman. You got a large man. At their own 46-yard line, the Ravens with a football. And again, in a running back spot, it's going to be Ugorji.
Xavier gets the handoff. It's not going to be Xavier this time. It is going to be J.J. Jackson. And he will bounce into the right side, picking up a couple of yards. Short gain, second and eight.
It's going to be interesting to see what the Ravens do here in the second half at the running back position. We saw Xavier Ugorji out there. We're seeing J.J. Jackson. I don't know if you paid attention on that kickoff return. You saw Zamar Hernandez out there for the Ravens. So I think that's going to kind of be your trio here in the second half.
Here we go on a second down, eight. Benedictine has taken the kickoff to begin the second half. Moving the ball, they're going to switch over from the right to the left with Tyler Watson. Rolling to the right side is going to be Dooley. He'll lob it downfield, and a diving catch. That was a great catch by Lagapuyana. The pass over the leaping defender, and JoJo just dove for it and was able to scoop it up. That was a good, clean catch. There's no reviewing that one.
Yeah, threw it over the top of Argo and right in front of the cornerback, Tracy Davis. A nice first down right there for the Ravens all the way down to the 30-yard line.
Quickly, back to the line of scrimmage. Jackson looking left, throwing left. JJ out of the backfield, goes to the 30, 25-yard line, bumped out of bounds. And right now, I just realized we've got two JJs out there. This one was going to be JJ Jackson, the running back. And the other one is JJ, or Joseph Lagapuyana, the receiver.
Well, and then you also got J.J. Jackson catching the pass from Jackson Dooley.
Second and five, Benedictine. Already at the 25-yard line of Grandview. Ravens have come out of the locker room and are moving the football on this, the first possession of the second half. They'll swing out, motion right, handoff left. Jackson, 25, 20, 15, down to the 13-yard line goes J.J. Jackson. Slashing run as he's tackled by the junior from Forest City, Iowa. That's Kellen Moore, the strong safety.
TZ comes into the ball. Okay, loses his mouthpiece for a minute. Still struggling to get that thing picked up.
Yeah.
He's going to go wide to the left side, also over there. Chase, the big 6-foot freshman receiver.
He's going to wipe it off on his football pants. It'll be okay, that mouthpiece. From the 13-yard line, it's a first down. Motion to the left, Ugorji. Now he'll come back to the right. Takes the handoff. Dances in the middle. Oh, he's pummeled at the 10. Give him three hard-earned yards. And guess the feet were still moving forward as the torso was going backward. John Argo, middle linebacker, again, with that stop. We talk about him, the defensive POY. And yet, he has not been a great big factor in this one, I don't feel like.
It's been one of those things where doesn't feel like it, but total tackles. I mean, Argo's at six, so he's in second place right now in tackles. Just quietly doing it so far.
It is a second down for Benedictine, and they're at the 11-yard line. Second down, eight. Again, the handoff in the middle, and there's nothing for Ugorji this time. He has spun and spun, and Gus, the Ravens doing something here in the second half that they did not really do in the first half is a tackle by Cameron Meishlon. And Jackson Filer, you know what they're doing? Running into the middle of the line. Before they were running it, I felt like trying to get to the outside, trying to get to the edge. And here in the second half, they've been running between the tackles a lot.
Yeah, they're running right into the teeth of that defense for Grandview. And now the Ravens going to bring Ugorji in on this 3rd-and-7 call.
Big call here for BC from the 11-yard line. Zimmerman, slot to the left side. Quarterback is back. Looking. Pulls it down. Rolls right. Looking to the back of the end zone. Rolling. Looking. He's at the 10. Throws eight. In the end zone. Is it caught? They're going to say out of bounds as the leaping catch was made in the air by Cameron Dover, but the defender was able to knock him out of bounds.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the right call. He was right there. Just couldn't get the feet down. And now you're going to see Christian Klobe in. Now, Christian knocked through a PAT already today, but missed a field goal from 45.
Well, this is going to be considerably shorter than that. The ball is going to be spotted down to the 19. This is going to be a 29-yard effort from the left hash mark. Held by Dooley. Olathe South Falcon. Christian Klobe in for the field goal effort. Snap. The placement. The kick with plenty of distance, and it's true. We're getting a timeout. Clock stops, 8:57 to go in the third quarter. Ravens take the first possession of the second half, scoring Vikings 14, Benedictine 10.
Thanks for listening to the Taco John's Raven Halftime Show on your home for Raven football.
Do you know? know how to recognize a phone scam? At Union State Bank, we're focused on keeping your financial future secure, and that means providing the information you need to keep your accounts protected. There are several red flags that can help you recognize a scam, such as a request for sensitive information or the promise that you'll get a prize. You can learn more about how to recognize a phone scam at mybankusb.com or visit one of our 8 convenient USB locations for valuable information about how to protect your assets. NMLS 654946, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Welcome back to MediaCom Stadium, downtown Des Moines, Iowa. We're at 8:57 to go in the third quarter. That means there's a lot of football to play. Benedictine trails 14-10. Welcome back. Joseph in the studio. Gus Counts with me here upstairs. Case is over here keeping an eye on all of us. That's the hardest job he'll ever have. Tom Counts is the Ravens end. Advancing on the football. The boot is away. It is, again, going to go out the back of the end zone. Because I'm not taking anything away from the leg of Christian Klobe, but he got that one up nice and high, and that stiff northerly wind aided in getting it out of bounds. First and 10 for Grandview. It'll be their first possession of the second half. Ball's going to be marked nose up to the 25-yard line, and Jackson Waring will bring his team out of the huddle and out onto the field. Waring 6 of 12 throwing the ball, 89 yards and a touchdown in the first half. He's up under center, hands off, running back, goes left side, cuts in the middle, and he just drags his defender, Trey Williams, downfield. Because he carried Trey from what looks like it's almost a first down, a gain of 9.
Yeah, Dalton Van Pelt right there did a nice job running off the left side. And you talked about Trey, well, he just kind of jumped on the back of the running back there, and instead of taking the legs out, he just got on it. A 9-yard gain will set up a 2nd and 1 with 8.5 left here in the third quarter.
That tackling him at the shoulders doesn't work real, real well. 2nd down 1. Well, here's that great play where you can try anything. They're just going to hand it off into the middle and pick up a 1st down, and again, they run straight at Trey Williams.
Trey Williams in there on the stop for the Ravens, also mixing it up. You're going to have Blake Castile, the 6'2" senior out of Maryville, Missouri.
Advance the sticks. 2 snaps and a 1st down to their own 38-yard line for Grandview. The Vikings had a first-season head coach, E.J. Peterson, but not first-season Grandview coach because he's been there for many, many years where he was a longtime assistant before the coach left after the national championship last year. Here's a run into the middle. Breaks the tackle. 45, 50, Raven territory, 49-yard line. And again, Gus, he just ran right over the top of a defender out there. Finally, Nehemiah Hicks is able to make the tackle. Blake Castile playing that defensive end had trouble with that play. 1st and 10, Grandview coming out of the locker room. And Gus, these two teams seem to have really settled in as the game goes along offensively. We're seeing them move the football more briskly as the game has gone on. Now motion left is Van Pelt. Quarterback is going to throw it into the flat to him, and he gets away again. 50-45 down to the 40. And Van Pelt just put a little sidestep on. Finally, Isaiah Haston tackles him, but Zach Lacombe was kind of left looking around as to where did he get to. 2nd down 4. Grandview clipping up yardage. 5, 6, 8, 9 yards at a crack. And here at the Benedictine 43, 6.5 to go in the third quarter. Grandview with a football for the first time in the second half and leading it still by 4. Wing to the right. Receivers are in relatively tight. Ravens stunt at the line of scrimmage. The handoff at a gaping hole. 40-35. Can't keep his balance and stumbling down at the 30-yard line. Huge opening on the left side. And leading that was the right tackle. Does James Wardick. 6'5", 275, senior, first-team all-conference guy, and he just really did a great job of opening that up.
Yeah, if the turf doesn't jump up and bite the running back on that play, he walks into the end zone. Instead, he trips up at the 29-yard line. Will be 1st and 10 right there for Grandview. Right now, the Ravens really struggling against the run game in the second half, and that's because in the first half,
Grandview didn't run it nearly as much.
Corey Phillips is in there, and the quarterback is back to throw again. Looks over the middle, has got a man over to the 10-yard line, down to the 5-yard line, and you know who's making that catch. It's Isaiah Tokey. He has been the guy all day, and he is going to be at the 1. Now they say it's a touchdown. I thought he was down short of the goal line, and now the officials having a little visit at the pylon.
Hey, he's looking at him, making sure that he didn't have him stepping out, and
they do have him stepping out. It's going to go back, isn't it?
No.
No?
Yeah, we're going to line it up for the PAT. So a big 29-yard touchdown strike to Isaiah Tokey, and it will put Grandview ahead 20-10 with the PAT coming.
So a point after by Corey Wood. It is down and up and right through there. And we're going to take a timeout. Grandview gets the ball and strikes quickly with 5:35 to go in the third quarter. Vikings 21, Benedictine 10.
Looking for fast, friendly service just south of Holton? Well, stop in at the Pumps, powered by B&P Propane and Knotty Pine Oil. Whether you're filling up your tank, grabbing a snack, or just need a pit stop on Old 75 Highway, the Pumps has you covered. Local people, local service, keeping Jackson County moving every single day. Swing on by today and get set up for easy 24/7 access. And don't forget about full service Fridays. At the Pumps, we're here to keep you fueled.
All right, here we go. 5:35 to play in the third quarter. Thus, the teams have found a little bit of offense. They're moving the football up and down. But right now, the Ravens get a field goal. Grandview gets a touchdown. That's the kind of trade Benedictine can afford.
Yeah, Benedictine had a couple good offensive possessions and held Grandview at bay. But big touchdown right there. Grandview, 223 yards now of total offense. Benedictine, 254 today.
Here's the kick. It is away. Longapuyana at the 9. 20. 5. Down at the 26. So it is going to be a relatively short return. Benedictine is going to have decent field position. We're at the 5:25 mark. And the clock keeps running. Shouldn't it be stopped now?
We'll get there maybe at some point.
Most of the time you would stop the clock.
The best part is the officials don't notice it. The coaches aren't saying anything about it.
No. I don't understand why, you know, why someone doesn't care.
If now they stopped it at 5:05. So
took a half a minute off.
30 seconds came off the clock right there.
Back to throw is Dooley. Goes over the middle. He's got his man. And what a catch by TZ at the 50. That's a 25-yard catch by Tanner Zimmerman right into the teeth of the defense.
That time working in front of the strong safety, Kellen Moore. And Tanner Zimmerman uses that 6'5" frame. Gets right in front of the 5'11" strong safety and gets the ball out near midfield.
First and 10, Benedictine just short of midfield on the first catch in the second half by Zimmerman. There's time to hand off to Gorgie. Slows down, looks into the middle, crosses midfield, give him 4 yards. He's down to the 47-yard line of Grandview. And at this point, Gus, Ravens traveling by 11. Still 4 minutes to go in what is a really fast-moving game. And faster yet because they never seem to stop the clock. But Benedictine's got to score about every possession.
You also have to start thinking about how many possessions you have left in this ballgame.
3.
I'd say, yeah, this one and 2 more. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one and 2 more. Quarterback back to throw. There's a hold in the middle, and quarterback throws the ball, and there's the penalty marker, yeah. They were just protecting Dooley because he was being pursued by, you know who, Jackson Filer.
Yeah, Filer got kind of untouched around the end.
So they grab him from behind to rescue the quarterback.
Almost golf claps out there.
I'm not sure why the official reaches down like he's turning on a microphone because there's no sound coming out. So they're going to mark that ball back. So penalty will be assessed and all the way to the Raven 42-yard line. Benedictine with the ball, second down at about 17 now. Ravens at their own 42. Got to get it down to near the other 40. Back to throw. Blitz is on. Quarterback's coming. Filer's after him. And thrown into the middle and nearly into the hands of a lineman. It's incomplete.
That should be a penalty, right? There it is.
Yeah.
You can't have the lineman be the first guy to touch it, though.
Right. Ugarte was close, but it hit the lineman.
And really, that's a penalty against the lineman because he reached out and touched the ball. Like, as a lineman, you got to understand, get your hands up and don't try to catch that thing.
But, dude, if you're 6'2", 280, you want to, you'd love to have a reception, wouldn't you?
Okay, so they're going to wave off the penalty.
They're going to pick that thing up. And I don't think that Grandview is particularly upset by that because they down is burned, and for Benedictine, it leaves him with a third down and very long. Third down, 17.
Grandview on the far side, a little confused about the coverage. It'd be a good chance for Titan Osborne to try to take the top off.
Now three officials get together, together again and try to hash this out. The crew has had its struggles today. Now, Jackson Dooley talks to the referee. Now he talks to the bat judge. And now he comes up and going to wait for the snap. Third down and 17, Benedictine at their own 42. 3:47 to go in the third quarter. Dooley's back. Pressure's on. Steps up, rolls left. Got time. Looking, directing traffic. Once Joseph. Fires back in the middle and throws it into the middle. It's intercepted. He was looking down the left side. One along the three on it. At the last second, he decides he's going to change targets. Throws it back into the middle and right into the hands of Tracy Davis. And Benedictine, three turnovers in the game. Gus, the first two led to directly to two touchdowns.
Yeah, and for Tracy Davis, that's going to be his first interception of the day. So Tracy has one to go along with. Levi Manson, Trey Herbert had a fumble recovery and a missed field goal today. For the Ravens, they don't have any punts, but too many turnovers. This afternoon, only two possessions so far have come up with points. The touchdown right before the half and the field goal to start the second half.
And those three turnovers, I just don't get the vibe that it was the defense doing like a splendid, splendid job of forcing a turnover. I feel like the turnovers have just kind of happened and been mistakes. Here we go, first and 10. Grandview is going to start this possession in Raven territory at the 49. 3.5 minutes ago in the third quarter. And the Vikings with the ball lead at 21-10. Motion to the left side. That is the most dangerous receiver. Now they're going to go to a reverse. Back to the right side. There goes Kate Sheedy. 50-45 and bulldogged out of bounds. No, the defender loses him and Sheedy stays in play and picks up a couple of more. It'll be a gain of about 8. Sheedy takes it inside the Benedictine 45-yard line. With 3:15 to go in the third quarter, it's 21-10. Vikings in front. Now you're going to get Tokey to come out of the game for a little bit. Corey Phillips is going to check in. He's listed as a tight end, and at 6'5", 265, he can play just about any position out there that he would want to. Big, big, strong guy. Van Pelt is your running back. Will take the handoff, hits the line, grabbed up there, and pulls free of a defender, and going to be close to the first down. Jason Anderson finally is going to make the tackle for Benedictine. Gus, I get the vibe a little bit, and it'd be the first time I've seen it, but there's a little wind out of the sails out here right now. I think a little frustration maybe, just needing a play. Ravens need something good to happen for them.
Yeah, they need to force a stop right here and force a punt for Grandview or a turnover. I mean, they just have to get a stop of some sort right here, and this is the big third down to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Third down at about 4, nearly 5, inside the Benedictine 45-yard line. Gibby's back, looks left, looks right, goes over the middle, picks up a first down. It's going to go down to the 35-yard line. And again, you go to Isaiah Tokey. Benedictine unable to defend him today.
Yeah, he's been a guy who, you know, when Grandview needs to play, they're looking to Tokey, and that time able to catch him right over the middle, enough for a first down, down to the 35-yard line. It'll be first and 10, 1:50 left here in the third quarter of play. Vikings up 21-10.
Tokey comes back. It'll be Lance Clayburg coming in, the junior tight end. First and 10. Now at the Raven 30-yard line, Grandview keeps the drive alive, and they're going to run out the third quarter with this possession. Here's a handoff into the left side. That was a superb individual tackle by Abram Phillips to the backfield. He was able to get in there, hit the ball carrier, upend him. And that was a superb play, tackling Ethan Schultz. Schultz is disappointed, but, man, you can't get away from that.
Braden's going to try to do something about this run game for Grandview. They're going to go two bigs in the middle. They're going to bring in Kevin Harris and now Xavier Hernandez back in there. Xavier coming off a great game last week where he had six tackles against Morningside.
Last minute of the third quarter, QB will roll right, has a tight end short, but looking deep. Now he wants to run with it. He's got some room. Will step up, get bumped out of bounds across the way by Isaiah Haston. Clock is going to stop at 46 seconds to go in the third quarter, leaving Grandview with a third and about eight, maybe even third, yeah, third and seven, eight, something like that.
Checking into the ball game, the guy you got to watch, and that's going to be Isaiah Toki.
Toki's not a big guy. He wears those, you know, those culotte pants out there that come just above the knee. Look like he's playing basketball with shoulder pads. Third down and long. Defender was offside. There's a marker-free play. They'll launch it down the right side. It's going to be caught way out of bounds and incomplete. But Benedictine with a defensive error. And going to say give him a free play and 5 yards on top.
Yeah, so instead of fourth and nine, now you're going to fourth and nine, you're looking at 4 yards to go. Yeah, third. Sorry, they switched it already.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be third and four instead of third and nine.
The down guys have struggled a little bit as well this afternoon, so we'll get it. They'll get it all hammered out eventually, and I'm sure Coach Osborne's staff will be keeping an eye on things and making sure they keep it all kind of sort of right. But it's a big difference, the difference between a third down nine and a third down four, and now inside the Raven 30-yard line. 24 seconds to go in the third quarter. Grandview leading it by 11, 21-10.
Grandview going to bring Ethan Schultz in as the running back. He's a 5'9", 200-pound junior running back.
Everybody in tight. The handoff will go to Schultz. He'll hit the middle, and a second effort, still not going to be enough to get to the first down six. It will be fourth down if you're Grandview. Do you go for three, or do you just let this quarter end and talk about it?
Get to the quarter and talk about it. Dylan Bennett back there for the Ravens, able to make the stop, but it's going to be a fourth and two, and go to the fourth.
Here we go. Three quarters done in Des Moines. We'll be back here on CARE. It's Grandview, 21, Benedictine 10.
We're today's hit country from KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison.
It's the only radio station we agree on.
We love the music.
Today's hit country, Hot Country, 93.7.
Hi, this is Dr. Curtis Kincannon with Atchison Animal Clinic, where we provide efficient, top-notch veterinary medicine in a comfortable and safe environment for both animals and owners. But that's not all. We also offer grooming services and a selection of recommended pet foods from Hill's Science Diet and Royal Canin. Come visit us at 1401 U.S. Highway 59 or check us out at AtchisonAnimalClinic.com to schedule an appointment today. Atchison Animal Clinic, where service, satisfaction, and animal health meet.
Well, for Benedictine, Gus, there's good news, bad news. It's like that old story. Bad news is you're trailing by 11 going into the fourth quarter. Good news is you're only trailing by 11, and your offense is so capable of scoring from any point of the field. If they can come up with a defensive hold against Grandview here on this fourth down call, they're in pretty good shape to, you know, mount a fourth quarter comeback.
Well, we're going to see a field goal opportunity for Grandview. It's going to be Corey Wood in to try to kick it.
44-yard field goal effort with the huge wind at his back and waiting for that quarter change makes a big difference here as this thing is booted. Got plenty of height, plenty of length, and he'll get it. So Grandview is going to start the fourth quarter with a 44-yard successful field goal. Taking another break, Joseph. We're 5 seconds into the fourth quarter. Grandview 24, Benedictine 10.
It's time for you to get the care that you deserve. When you're in our hands, you can rest assured that you're getting the best that there is. Here at Atchison Senior Village, we strive every day to be the skilled nursing facility of choice in our community. We make sure that each day you spend with us is filled with the caliber of service that will make your stay comfortable, safe, and therapeutic. Our in-house therapy team promotes quality outcomes for short-term, long-term, and outpatient residents. Let us take care of you or your loved one. For more information, contact me, Nikki Weigel, today at 913-209-0138.
Moines, Iowa, where Benedictine has its kick return unit out of the field featuring Zamar Hernandez, the 5'11 redshirt freshman from Atchison, Kansas, and Joseph Lacapugliana. Those guys are settled back at the 5-yard line, but each kick for Grandview by Corey Wood has gone out and has been unreturnable, and he's got that big win at his back that aided his field goal just moments ago. And here's his boot. It is end over end to high end, but not very deep. Fair catch called for, and Joseph calls the fair catch for Zamar, who I think really wanted to return that ball. How's the other guy call your fair catch for you?
I don't know. If I were Zamar, I'd have to have some words with Joseph.
Yeah. You know what? If you're going to catch this, you could call your own fair catch. I'll return mine. Thank you.
There was nobody for about 10 to 12 yards, and Zamar, who's an explosive returner, we saw him return a lot of kicks in high school. That's an interesting one right there, especially when you fair catch it at the 17 and the ball now goes to the 25.
So here we go. It is first and 10, Benedictine. It is a huge possession. The Ravens not only need to score, they need a touchdown here because down by two TDs and they're only going to have a couple of more possessions. Here's a pass over the middle, juggled and caught and across the 40-yard line. Goes Benedictine, a ball-juggling catch by LeBron Jackson. And nice job by Porter Doggett to finally drag him down, but Benedictine picking up 15, first down.
Now the Ravens look a little confused about what personnel they want on the field. Now they're going to take Xavier Ugorji off, bring Tanner Zimmerman, another tight end, onto the field, tuck him to the right side. 24-10. Vikings leading the Ravens here in the fourth quarter.
Ravens have been featuring J.J. Jackson in the backfield quite a bit here in the second half. They've got him back there again right now, moving Zimmerman over to the left side of where the tight end will set up. From their own 40-yard line, it's a first down call. Back to throw, pass over the middle, Zim at the 50, 45-40, Tanner 35-30, Tanner 25, can he go? He's at the 5, touchdown, Ravens on a 60-yard strike over the middle. Jackson Dooley to Tanner Zimmerman. And Benedictine with lightning speed is right back in this.
That was a nice, just little skinny post right there. Hit Zimmerman over the middle of the field and actually almost hit the official with that pass. Official duck, Zimmerman catches it and didn't get too cute. Just turned it straight for the goalpost and gets it into the end zone. The Ravens now back to within a touchdown.
Zimmerman shows extraordinary speed for a man his size as he outran the defense, and the PAT by Kloby is up and good. And what a game we've got. With 14:01 to go in the fourth quarter in Des Moines, timeout, Grandview 24, Benedictine 17.
At Hummelgaard Family Dentistry in Atchison, your comfort and health come first. You're in good hands.
I'm Dr. Jordan Hummelgaard, formerly Campbell. I grew up right here in Atchison. Caring for the community means everything to me. We take time to listen and make sure you feel comfortable and cared for, whether it's your first visit or your 50th. When you walk through our doors, you are family.
Hummelgaard Family Dentistry at 913-367-7270 or stop by 817 Santa Fe in Atchison. Hummelgaard Family Dentistry.
Well, for Benedictine, that is the kind of scoring drive that you're pretty satisfied with, Gus. Zimmerman on that pass, it was a two-play, 75-yard scoring drive, and it took 54 seconds to make it happen. Christian Quilby with that PAT that is good.
Sure, defensive player over there on the far sideline for Benedictine. All of a sudden, you're sitting there talking to your defensive coordinator, and you say, oh, wait, we're back up. So for the Raven defense, here's the chance to get a big stand.
The boot away. That's a peach, and it is going to bound out the end zone, and it is going to be a touchback. Once again, the Vikings will put their offense out on the field, where it is going to be first and 10. Here's that, as the game has worn on, I think these offenses have probably kind of settled in and maybe played a little more efficiently. And I mean on both sides. I think the ball has been moved better in the third quarter than it was in the first two. A lot of factors can come into that. Maybe the defense is wearing down a little bit, but I'd rather think that your offense is better.
Yeah, I think both offenses are just starting to really
put the pieces together and figure out what the other defenses are doing.
Here's Jackson Waring. Hands off to his running back, who kicks into the left side for a quick five up to the 30-yard line. And if you're Grandview, you don't necessarily need to score quickly as Xavier Hernandez brings Dalton Van Pelt to the ground. You gotta, still got to score quickly. You just want to take some time, and you would love to culminate this possession with a score because you don't want to give Benedictine a chance to come back and tie this thing up.
All right, you've seen that Benedictine's been able to score on some quick strikes. And so, yeah, you want to keep the ball away from him, especially after that last play.
Second down, five. The pass into the right flat is going to be caught. It's going to be enough for a first down up to the 36-yard line, angling to the near side. And the Raven tackle by Trey Williams over here. First and 10 at the 36-yard line. And that was good awareness, knowing, okay, needed to get beyond the 35, gets it to the 36, moves the sticks, and Grandview continues to chew up time. We're now inside 13 minutes to play.
Can I tell you, I'm really hoping that 30 seconds running off the clock earlier doesn't come back to bite somebody.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Hand off to the single running back who cuts back into the middle and spinning forward is Ethan Schultz. And he'll pick up about a half a dozen. Because these two teams now have decided it was both Xavier Hernandez and Isaac Lopez making a tackle on that. These two teams are now challenging the middle of the defense and have run, well, they've run, yes, they've run to the outside, but they are really turning into the middle more than we had seen earlier.
I was going to say, especially as this game has drug on into the second half, we're starting to see more of those inside runs, and right now it's working for both teams.
Second down, four, after a nice first down gain, and the same play, the same way, but this time, not good for six, but good, very close to the first down. I mean, right at it. They're going to say move it. Line judge on this side says first and 10.
Ravens keep trying to switch out the defensive front to keep fresh legs. Now into the ballgame, Dylan Finn, a 6-foot, 260-pound junior out of Katy, Texas. Ravens running that 42 defense. They kind of set in that nickel as their base defense. And that's something we saw a lot out of them last year as well.
So I'm looking at three defensive guys right in front now. Oh, now we're going to bring Joseph Abrams over there, Jay. DN on the right side. First and 10 at the 46. Back to throw Waring. We haven't seen him throw in the second, or much in the second half. He's got a man wide open on the left side. It's going to be deflected. Tremendous defensive play by Peyton Joby. Knocked out of bounds on the Raven 40-yard line. And, of course, they're going to Isaiah Tokey. If I'm Grandview, if I'm anybody with Isaiah Tokey on my team, I'm throwing at him.
You know how many times we talk about a player that could play for any other team?
Yep.
And Tokey is that guy, and he would also be a high draft pick. If you were to pool every player in the conference together and say draft him, he'd be right up there towards the top.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
So for the Ravens, they're going to have to pay extra special attention to Tokey right here.
Second down, 10. Clock stopped off the incompletion with 11:22 to go. QB's going to keep it himself this time, puts his head down, runs over the Raven defender, Gus, and Trey Williams was just not big enough to stop Jackson Waring. Waring's going to pick up a little yardage, but it won't be a lot.
Finally, Isaac Lopez is able to come over and help clean things up. The Raven's going to bring in to the ballgame Savion Payton, a junior defensive end out of Park Hill.
Am I just so old school that I cringe when I see a quarterback carry a ball? And I know some offenses are predicated on the quarterback running and being able to carry the ball, but it makes me worry always.
I get it. Second year quarterback goes down and completely changes the trajectory of your season.
Completely. Third down, five. Just across midfield is Grandview. They're in Raymond territory at the 49. And again, Waring his back with time over the middle and a catch at the 40. And, of course, it is Isaiah Tokey. He is the player of the game here this afternoon, no question.
Yeah, that time he just sat down in a little bit of a zone, and guys were just going to let him make that catch. Finally coming over, Abram Phillips, but not before a first down. Peyton Joby also been over there. So Raven's going to give Kevin Harris a little bit of a breather and bring back into the ballgame one of those defensive captains, Jason Anderson, a senior out of Lancaster, California.
First and 10 at the Benedictine 40, and we go inside 10 minutes to play. Vikings lead Benedictine by a touchdown. Back to throw. QB sets up at the 50, looking, just standing, looking, just standing, looking. Throws it over the middle, and What's going on? He's still looking. Now we'll throw it at the 30. He faked everybody out like he's throwing the ball and then just kind of hit it on his hip. And I think the pressure stopped on him for a little while. And then he threw the ball downfield, and it's very close to a first down, a gain of about 8.
He ran around for a long time. He ran backwards quite a ways. And when he throws it, 6 of 8 yards. When you looked at the whole play, you're like, wow, he just picked up like 30 yards. And then you're like, 2nd and 2 right now. But time becoming an issue. We're at the 9-10 mark of the ball game. Benedictine, though, trailing by 7. I mean, a field goal is really all the more you can give up here.
Yeah, and again, Grandview, the Ravens are going to get the ball back. No question. Grandview will hand off on a sweep to the near side, picking up a first down to the 29-yard line. So Grandview is going to give the ball back to Benedictine. The question is, will they do it leading by 7, 10, or 14? That's the only question. The ball inside the 30-yard line, and right now the Vikings, this is a perfect drive if you're a Grandview fan. You're taking up a lot of time. You're now in 8.5 minutes to go in the game, leading by a score and looking to make it 2 scores. Very wide to the left side. They're going to go, and Koa Thompson is wide over there. They'll slot left also. But they'll hand off and try straight into the middle. The nice ankle tackle. That was a really solid job by Isaac Lopez. No gain on the play, maybe even the loss of a yard, 2nd and 11. The Ravens have not had a lot of negative plays by the defense where they've tackled behind the line of scrimmage today. 2nd down and 11 at the 31-yard line.
But again, Grandview now doing what good teams do, right? Take your time. Be patient. We're down to 15 on the play clock before they break the huddle.
Yep. 7:40 to go in the game. Ravens with that 43. Here's a handoff right side. Bouncing out. First contact by Abram Phillips and the second by Isaac Lopez. Only a gain of a couple of 3 yards. It'll leave the Vikings looking at a 3rd down long. Pivotal play here in the 4th quarter of this ball game. 24-17, Vikings in front of Benedictine. 7:20 to go in the game, and the clock continues to roll. Grandview with the ball, a 3rd and 8 inside the Raven 30-yard line. Benedictine can stop them. Grandview will be forced to go for a field goal. They've already hit one with the wind at their back here in the 4th quarter already. And a field goal will make it a 2-possession lead.
And a field goal from right here would be 45 yards. Moments ago, he hit a 44-yarder, so kind of right at that range.
Third and a pair. QB's back. Throws the left side. It's going to be caught. And did they get to the first down? And he does not. Does he? Short. Half a yard short. If you're Grandview, do you take the 3 to give you a 2-possession lead?
Nope. You're going to go for it.
You go for it? Oh, that's kind of risky, isn't it? Nehemiah Hicks with a tackle for Benedictine.
Jordan Crum going to check in. Isaiah Thompson will check in. And also, you're going to bring Dalton Van Pelt. Now Van Pelt runs back out. Schultz is going to stay in. Schultz is the bigger of the two running backs. He's 5'9", 200 pounds. And you got to think that Jackson Waring probably just dives forward with this thing.
If you're Grandview, I mean, I know it's 4th down in a short yard, but, man, don't you just give yourself a 2-possession lead instead of taking a chance and not? Here we go. Quarterback's under center. 4th down is short. Hands off running back. He'll pick it up. Gets a yard. That's all he needed. 1st and 10, Vikings at the Benedictine 19-yard line. And Grandview showing a lot of wherewithal, going for it on 4th down. We're inside 6 minutes to go because this has already been a 6-minute possession by the Vikings. And we're down 550, 549, rolling along. So Grandview is playing smart football here. They're using all the time that they can. And they are moving it downfield, and the Raven defense is not breaking, but it's bending enough to let that defense not make the stop. Schultz is in at the running back. He's 7 yards behind the quarterback, and quarterback Waring is up under center. 1st and 10 of the 19. Hand off to Schultz. He'll try right. Puts his head down, stopped after a 2-yard gain, and the Ravens are going to stand him up, shoving back. And the play clock will reset again, and we're going to be, it's still not rolling. There it goes. We're going to be 4.5 minutes to play before this ball is snapped again.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, you're talking about over a 5-minute possession. No, we're now at, boom, 9 minutes on this possession, right? Benedictine scored at the 14:01 mark of the quarter and then kicked it back to Grandview.
2nd down and 8. 14, 13, 12 on the play clock. Grandview will milk it all the way to the end. Tristan Williams is wide to the left. You know Grandview's going to throw one to the end zone right here just because the defense is so anticipating these runs. 2 seconds, one. The ball is snapped at one. Nice play. Pass to the left. Badly thrown. I suspect, and I can only guess, he was looking for the tight end, Lance Clayburgh. He was the only guy anywhere close, and it is incomplete. And that, for Grandview, will do something they didn't want to see happen, and it stops the clock at 4.5.
Does stop the clock for 4.5, but if you look over here to the near sideline, you see the helmet get buckled up, and trotting out onto the field is going to be Isaiah Toki. And I'm telling you, this ball is going to Toki right here.
On a 3rd and 8, you're right, it's a little long to run. Toki doesn't go way out as a wide receiver. He's over at that kind of off that tight end wing spot. QB's back, looks right side. He's got a man drop, hitting his receiver, Tristan Williams, in the hands. And he just doesn't hold on. Here comes the field goal unit.
And Toki's walking back, throwing his hands up, saying, hey, I was open right over the middle of the field on a little bit of a drag. He started on the left, drug straight across the formation to the right. And if Waring takes a second and looks back, he probably hits him for another first down. But it stops the clock with 4:28. The last two plays have been terrible for Grandview in that sense.
Little 5'7" Corey Wood looking to give his team a 2-possession lead. It is a chip shot 34-yard field goal effort held by Brayton Corey. It is down. It is up. Plenty high. Plenty long. And it is good. Taking a timeout at 4:24 to go in the ball game. It's now Grandview 27, Benedictine 17.
It's football season, and there's no better place to catch every snap than Mueller's Locker Room in Atchison. With TVs everywhere you look, daily food specials, and ice cold drinks, you'll feel like you're right on the 50-yard line. From kickoff to the final whistle, the best plays happen at Mueller's Locker Room. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison. Your game day headquarters all season long. Mueller's Locker Room. Locker Room.
I tell you what, football is a game that is full of statistics. There are numbers of every kind, but as impressive a number as you're going to see is that Grandview scoring drive. It was only a field goal, 34 yards.
Only 58 yards total on the drive.
Yeah, but that 58 yards involved 16 plays and 9:37 off the clock. That was exactly what Grandview needed. And they executed, well, like the number one team in the nation would execute it. Ravens are going to need a big return here. We'll see if they decide to go for a return. High end over end, and JoJo's going to field it. And this time he's not calling for a fair catch for somebody else. He's going to bring it out himself and be tackled at the 20-yard line. So didn't pan out real, real well. Harry Linen from Waukee makes a stop for Benedictine. 80 yards from the end zone, trailing by 10. And we're down to 4 minutes and 17 to go in the ball game. Benedictine in the white jerseys with red pants and red lettering and trim. Grandview in the red jerseys with white helmets, pants, lettering, trim. Here comes BC. And again, because they will not be able to be patient. Dooley's back, lobs one, right side, misses Longapuyana. They don't look at him, and Grandview knows it because of all the threats that the Ravens at least have shown or know about. He's like the deep threat right now in this offense. Is that fair? Other than Titan, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Titan's probably the number one threat on this team, and I think that you're just going to really look at Lagapuyana and make him make some of those underneath catches, and you're going to let those happen. But for the Ravens, they're really going to have to stretch the field in this last 4 minutes.
Titans going to switch over to the far side. You get a height mismatch on the short side of the field on the second down 10 call. And now we're going to get a handoff to J.J. He'll go 25 up the field, gets close to the first down mark. Did he step out of bounds before or after the marker? It's going to be in front. It's third down. No, they're going to say it's just enough. First down. Nice job by J.J. Jackson to find that stick.
That thing was right there.
Razor thin. He must have reached it out maybe a little bit as he was getting out of bounds. He was able to advance the chains, and we're at 3:51 to go. And the clock does not stop to advance the sticks, what, until the last 2 minutes, right?
2 minutes, yep.
Okay, first down. Back to throw. Fires in the middle, fan it to the ground and knocked away by the front line at Jackson Filer. And Jackson's not, you know, I mean, he's an all right size guy, 6'3", but he's not like a behemoth in there, but yet got those arms up and batted the ball away. Second and 10, Benedict into their own 29-yard line. The Ravens are down 10. For BC, it's go time. And if the Ravens score, when the Ravens score, because they're still going to have to get the ball back again for a second one. Dooley will motion right with Watson. It's a second down call. Now they're going to run into the middle, and there's nothing there for Gorgie. So Benedictine, what, trying to keep the defense a little bit honest by running into the middle and just making sure? I'm not sure what the plan was there, but it's now 3rd and 7, and we're going to lose a lot of time off the clock. Gorgie staring at his play sheet. Now takes himself and sets over to the left side of the quarterback on a 3rd down 7 call. Dooley's back to throw. Hit as he releases the ball. And is it caught? It is for a first down. What a catch across the 40-yard line. And again, it is Joseph Longapoyana catching that shoe-top catch. That's his 3rd one today.
Yeah, that's why I'm working in front of Kellen Moore, able to make the reception. The Ravens have to quickly get back up over the football and get this thing going.
Benedict in, bringing a new receiver in from the far side, 21. I don't have him in front of me here, but
Isaiah.
Oh, is that Isaiah? Okay, of course. Back to throw. Goes out of the backfield. J.J.'s got it, 40, 45. Hit and brought down to the field of play at the 47-yard line. Getting only 3 yards. But again, the Ravens are going to have to be more efficient than that. Clock getting away. We're down to 2.5 minutes left. Tristan Jackson, the cornerback, with the tackle. 2nd down 7. Ravens move the ball because, like that last position, they need chunks. Now Dooley going deep into traffic, pushing, shoving, caught by Haston. He's inside the 20-yard line. He literally just reached in and ripped the ball away from Kenai James. 1st and 10, BC, inside the 20, all the way down to the 16.
Why is the clock rolling?
Because they absolutely have refused all afternoon to stop the clock, and this is not the first time. Now the official is trying to reset it, and I'm not sure. Is he just going to stop it at 2 minutes?
He's going to say that's the 2 minutes.
Wow. We're taking a timeout, Joseph, see if they talk about this. Timeout on the field, 2 minutes on the clock. Vikings 27, Ravens 17.
Taco? Burger? Why not both? Try Taco John's one-of-a-kind taco burger with 100% North American beef, zesty mild sauce, lettuce, and cheddar cheese on a warm bun. Taco Burgers, only available at Taco John's. Come try a taco burger today. At Taco John's, we believe a better Taco Tuesday starts with better tacos. So that's what we make. And how do you make a better taco even better? Making it $1.39 on Tuesdays couldn't hurt. Better tacos are just $1.39. Every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's.
And all of them had gathered together over to football. They'd convinced themselves that they're good with where we're at. 2 minutes to go in the ball game. Vikings leading at 27-17. Here comes Benedictine. 1st and 10 at the Vikings 16-yard line. Can the Ravens score twice in the last 2 minutes? Jackson Dooley. Xavier Ugorji's back there with him. Dooley's back. Throws right. And a diving catch. And it's going to be dropped by Longapuyana. Joseph tried to haul that one in, but could not. That play, 4 seconds elapsed.
Can I tell you, today, my most impressive catches have gone to Isaiah Haston. Right?
I'm with that.
I mean, when you're talking about the acrobatic going out and making the sure-handed catch, it's been Isaiah Haston, and he's not out there right now at the moment.
No. Now, of course, TZ had the big long touchdown catch, too. That was a pretty nice one. Quarterback is back. He's looking for TZ. Runs up, going to keep it himself. Dives forward. Going to be short of the first down inside the 10-yard line. So the clock is going to continue to run on the keeper by Jackson Dooley. Probably not the right idea, but you're not going to get a first down and stop the clock. Ravens, tick-tock. Wait a minute, 39. Minute 38 to play, down 10. Dooley, snap. Looks left. Looks left. Throws left. Caught. On the ground.
First down.
And it's a first down. Nice catch by Zimmerman. And again, Gus, Jackson's passes have been really low today. All these guys have to go down to the ankles all afternoon to make catches. First and goal, Benedictine. Ravens down around a five-yard line. The handoff, Ugorji hit in the backfield, buried in Malou's yardage. That play had no chance from the very start. It didn't look like everybody was quite on the right page. And we're down to a minute 13 to go, and the Ravens are going to take a timeout. We're taking a timeout, Joseph. 73 seconds to go in the game. It is Grandview 27, Benedictine 17.
Atchison Auto Parts, it's your locally owned and operated independent Napa dealer. With a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry, they provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right part. And with locations in Leavenworth, Smithville, and Sabetha, they can get that part same day, if not on their shelves. Open 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
With a minute 13 to go in the ball game, Benedictine exercising a timeout after a run into the middle by Ugorji loses maybe a yard. And so it's going to bring up a second and goal, Ravens, Iowa State, and Iowa. How about them Cyclones?
Iowa State winning today 16-13.
Iowa State winning this season, right?
2-0?
Yeah.
3-0 now.
Three.
Sorry.
This is 3. Okay, Ravens at the line of scrimmage. Ugorji in the backfield again. Should they all get everybody lined up? Quarterback is back. Pumps, pumps, pumps. Throws TZ. Second touchdown of the day. Touchdown, Ravens! 1:08 to go. 27-23. And a PAT coming up. BC will be lining this thing up. It's going to be Kloby. That was a good call. See, I like the aggressiveness. The Ravens took a little moment there. They've still got two timeouts, and they took a moment going to a play that they felt was going to work, and they executed it very nicely. The point after is on its way. Got it. We're taking a break, and we do have an exciting finish coming up with a minute 8 left here in Des Moines, Iowa. It is Grandview 27, Benedictine 24.
Craving something fresh? Head to Subway in Atchison. From the classic subs you love to fresh salads, wraps, and breakfast options, there's something for everyone. And don't forget to treat yourself with a foot-long churro or soft pretzel, perfect for a snack or with your meal. Subway, eat fresh. Conveniently located under the Fifth Street Viaduct in Atchison.
The minute 8 to go into ball game. I cannot say I am surprised that we are now over 50 total team points, okay? Because I thought these two teams were capable of scoring points. That was not a question of mine. I can't say that I'm surprised that this game is within 3. I just was kind of hoping it was going to flip a little bit. But it's not over. The Ravens are going to be set up for what is an obvious onside kick effort. And Grandview has got that hands team out there. So everybody knows what's going to happen now. Grandview's going to call a timeout and say, look at the Benedictine alignment. And you've got guys like Isaiah Toki is out there for Grandview. And you've got receivers and special teams head coach for Benedictine, Andy Merfeld. You know, he's been working on this team and working to develop something for exactly this circumstance, right?
Yeah, once you start nailing down the special teams and practices and things, you start preparing for situations like this. Hey, minute left in the ballgame, let's go out and get that special teams onside kick. So you're working on different things, and there's 100 ways of doing this, and the Ravens are going to look like, at least that last time, set up where they have two kickers, and both of them will probably advance to the ball. One of them will either kick it, or one of them will run by it, and then the other one comes through and kicks. So it's going to be one of those, not just line it up and have a guy straight up
try to hit the onside, you're going to have two kickers running at the football at the same time. It's going to be Kloby and the punter, Scotty Robertson.
Seems reasonable. You got 10 return men within 10 yards of the forward line and one return man back around the 20-yard line. And there it is. It's skipping and skipping, and it goes right into the midsection of a kick coverage guy. And Grandview is going to cover it up, wrap it up, and they are going to come out. And Benedictin is not going to be able to stop it often enough. Free safety. Tucker got that thing covered up out of Comanche, Iowa.
You got to realize, for a kicker, you had to understand that this field is not like a lot of fields. This field is set up for soccer, right? So it has no nap to it. So the ball's not going to hop. It's just going to slide across this thing. So it's a little tougher to hit it like that and hope for two bounds and then a kick up.
And oddly enough, for me, Grandview is going to go into a typical offensive alignment here with receivers left and right, quarterback running back behind him, going to hand off running back straight ahead. Ray should be stripping the ball, and the tackle is finally going to be made inside the 40-yard line. And I thought maybe they'd be ripping and pulling at that ball a little bit more, trying to get it out of the arms of Dalton Van Pelt. But it will be a gain of about 6 or 7 or 8 and make it a second down call. We'll hang on to it right here with 1 minute to go, and Benedictine using its second timeout of the second half. The Ravens, Gus, next week, going to be right back up in Wilcox Stadium. We got another good one coming up. This early particular part of the season for BC is loaded with talented teams. We'll have Graceland coming down.
Yep, Yellow Jackets will come to Atchison under a new head coach as Ross has moved on from head coach to the football general manager, I think is how they're calling
him.
And so it'll be a first-year head coach for Graceland this year.
They're underway in Columbia. We'll have something to listen to all the way home, don't you suppose? Are there any stations up here who are going to be carrying Kansas and Missouri football?
You're rough.
We may have to bounce something off Sputnik or something to catch this game. Second down for Grandview inside the Benedictine 40. Again, the QB. This time he's going to hand off and they're going to lose a yard or two. Ravens are going to use their final timeout. It's at the 41-yard line. Gus, I'm looking at the time here. 59.9, Jason Anderson. He's at Lancaster, where he's from. Makes a tackle for Benedictine. So the Ravens could force a punch, right?
So
59.9.
Well, I guess feasibly. How big is that 30 seconds that ran off?
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Massive. So 30 seconds that ran off in the first half, probably less consequential. They're 30 seconds or more, but the half a minute that ran off here a while ago.
Well, no, it was the 30 seconds that ran off after that first Grandview touchdown here in the second half.
Right, that's what I'm saying, here in the second half. Because it happened also in the first half that ultimately was less consequential.
Yeah.
But now, an extra half a minute would be huge. Just massive. 57 seconds to go in the ball game. 27-24, Vikings leading the Ravens. Now, if you're Grandview, are you confident enough? Are you the guy who's going to throw the ball here?
No.
On a third down five?
No.
Really? I think they will. Here they are. Back to throw. Penalty marker's down. He's going deep. He's got a man. And it's going to be incomplete at the five. But what's that marker at the line of scrimmage?
The Ravens are offside.
I thought so.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrific.
That's the only reason they threw him, really, I think.
Do you think he saw that? I don't think that flag came out until after he was back in the pocket. I don't think it was. I think he was going to throw that ball. Now is the five enough for a first down? It is. They're going to say it is. They'll move the chains, and that's going to do it. So Benedictine will commit a penalty that is going to allow Grandview to escape with a 3-point win at home in their season opener. And it's going to be very disappointing. Now they'll go to the Diamond offense, and Jackson Waring is going to take a knee. Final score here this afternoon. It's Grandview 27, Benedictine 24, and we'll be back right after this.
Whether you're hosting friends, enjoying a cozy evening at home, or celebrating life's little moments, Hunley Liquor has everything you need to elevate the occasion. Choose from a wide selection of domestic and imported beers, fine wines, and premium spirits to make any gathering special. Hunley Liquor, 119 South 9th Street in Atchison. Hometown friendly, hometown helpful. That's Hunley Liquor.
You've trusted Amberwell with your health for years, from checkups to surgeries, in the good times and the harder ones. And now, when it matters most, they're here again with Amberwell Hospice Care. Receive compassionate end-of-life care from caregivers you already know and trust. It's care that understands your medical history, your values, and your family. You're never alone with Amberwell Hospice Care. Call 913-360-5520 or visit amberwellhealth.org.
Welcome back here to MediaCom Stadium in Des Moines, Iowa, where the Grandview Vikings, the defending national champions, are going to begin 2025 with a win over Benedictine, 27-24. Guess we thought it'd be a close game, thought it'd be a good game. It was a close, good game.
Yeah, and for the Ravens, you're going to start looking back at possessions. You ended up with 8 possessions, and in the second half, you scored on 3 of those, and you actually scored on 4 of your final 5 possessions, but an interception in your first 3 where you missed a field goal, you threw an interception, and you fumbled the ball at the 7-yard line, all 3 of those things against the number 1 team in the country and a team who has not lost a regular season game since Benedictine beat them over at the Duke back in 2018.
And there you have it. Well, here on Camp Radio, we got all kinds of stuff coming up. Sports Look on Thursday night. High school football will be with Atchison for the Phoenix homecoming at the newly renovated Amelia Earhart Stadium on Friday night. And on next Saturday, Ravens are going to be back at home, and it will be Graceland coming in to Wilcox Stadium. Looking forward to that. We want to thank all of our great Sports Look sponsors. Thank you for having joined us here this afternoon. And also, mucho appreciation to Joseph. He's the guy back at the Care Sports Studios that makes this sound so smooth and professional and makes us sound better than we are. Joseph, thank you so much. Timmy Green, till next time. Final score again. It was Grandview, 27, Benedictine, 24. For Gus Gouts, for Case watching the both of us, Tom Gouts here in Des Moines. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to today's coverage of Benedictine College football here on Hot Country 93.7. Today's broadcast has been brought to you by Atchison Auto Parts, your hometown local Napa store. This broadcast has been an exclusive production of the MSC Sports Radio Network.